Greetings. Hi, everybody. This is Beth. Welcome to the Sunday Galactic Roundtable. And I welcome Tara and Rama and Marita, too.
Greetings.
Greetings, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. I want to do things a little bit different today and change things up. So there's several things I'd like to talk about today. And after this, then... after I finish what I wanted to bring up, then we can...
Beth?
Yeah?
Just let's tell Don. Don, make sure you have the people on the conference call in presenter mode, okay?
Yep, it's all good, Tara. It's all taken care of. Thank you.
Okay, all right.
So, so I want to go over a few things, and then afterwards we can do the news and some questions. And Don says he's reconnecting the callers now.
That's what I thought. I heard that lurp.
Here, I'm helping. Hold on a second, everybody. I'm helping Don.
Okay, and make sure you tell him to get it in presenter mode after he gets them on.
Right. Okay, so Don's getting everybody connected to the phones. Thank you, Don. So we had an exciting program yesterday. I thought it was new news and cutting edge, and I think it confused a lot of people. So I that's what I want to talk about now. How are you doing, Don, with it, getting everyone connected? I think Don's working on it. Okay, we're ready to go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Galactic Roundtable.
Greetings.
So, to begin, if you're on this call, then you have some understanding of what Nisara is, and you are head and shoulders above most people in the world. And now you may have been coming to these calls for years, and we're on the threshold of Nisara. And so you're ahead of the game because you know what's going on. And you've heard us speaking of action politics, so I wanted to ask everybody, how many people called the president last week and asked for disclosure of extraterrestrial presence?
I did.
You did?
I called up the White House switchboard. I called up the Capitol switchboard. I called up my congressmen, my senators, and I said, please have Dr. Stephen Bassett come forward and talk about full disclosure with Dr. Greer, Dr. Richard Hoagland, and the Syrian commander. And I called him.
That's cool, Ron.
I called him the Syrian commander.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, he is. The Dogon people, the people of the Kemet.
And, you know, the word Indian was made up, yet it was supposed to be Commander Indian Chief. And what did that mean? The Indian way, the real natural way of the Native American has been the way of the Divine Feminine.
Right.
Where the House of War would be a Department of Peace.
Because the women would be in charge of it.
The feminine energy, you know, whether you're in a male body or a female body. And that's something with what Lord Jamal said this morning, is that Your entire divinity comes from the mother and the genealogy that she carries. That is where divine law comes from.
And it goes right back to the mitochondria in the cell. That genetic line is passed down through the mitochondria in the cell, through the maternal bloodline. That's a proven scientific fact. It's not just made up. That is divine law.
Yes, and so what that is it's a guarantee that you would be taught by that energy that you're made up of, whether you had a mother or not. And that's the story here. You know, you can have a stone be your mother, yet your genealogy itself is coded to divine law through the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come in here and we get re-encoded into demonic negative male system, it goes against the grain of nature from the day we come in. So this is very timely now so that we don't ever do that with our children again.
So I was glad to hear that you called everyone up, Rama. I wanted to say I called the White House switchboard twice last week. And so this week I'll do it again, and maybe I'll call Al Franken too.
Oh, yes. I call his office at least once a week. Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters, Barbara Boxer, Dennis Kucinich, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and I make my statements to their secretaries, and they know me by
they
now.
They must love you.
and I'm very cordial and polite, and and it's at the place where, you know, you say to these people that, you know, with all due respect, it is time that we, the people of this country, have the full disclosure of our visitors who are here that have not been formally invited to the White House. And if they have, I haven't seen the RSVP in black and white. Have you?
I encourage everybody to make these calls. I'm making them. And, you know, they encourage us to call and comment on the things that are important to us. And I want to remind you of the White House phone number to call the Syrian commander and leave a message for him. It's area code 202-456-1161. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about action politics and why we're discussing this right now. And it can't be emphasized enough that we are the hands, the arms, the feet, the voice, and the heart and the mind on earth, in our physical bodies, to make this fifth-dimensional galactic society happen. And we need to make decisions and take action steps that will return the Earth back to love. And the galactics can't do it for us. We're here in physical bodies. That's why we're here on Earth, to help out with that. We are channels and we are instruments. And we're the bridge between heaven and Earth. And it's why we're here. And so that brings up you know, the divine plan as we the people have created it. How are we going to get there? You know, it's not designed that everyone should ascend so they can leave in their bodies and everything's hunky-dory. What the plan is that everyone ascend and be filled with joy and love and bliss and stay here to create heaven on earth. And how do we do that? We have to take action steps. We have to divorce ourselves from any and all prior agreements we do not understand, and we have to grow up. And we have to become the adult person that we are, you know, even if we're in our 70s, ha, ha, ha. We have to come together as one planet and one people, and we have to remember the fact that we are sovereign, sentient beings, and we are following divine law. We're not following statutory law. We're not following common law, because there's nothing common about us. We're following divine law, which is governed by the divine feminine, known as Mother Sekhmet, or Zodiacus, or the Black Madonna. And this is a representation of the universe, because we are a galactic society. And inside the womb space of Mother, from which all creation is born, you'll find Galactic Center. And the Scorpio Black Hole, if you go through it, you get to the antimatter universe. And there you'll see a divine blueprint for the mass, for the matter universe, Nebadon, which is where we live. And now if you go into the womb space of your own body, in your belly, that's where your power comes from. And if you go into your high heart, that's where the infinite universe of possibilities is. And you can launch to the antimatter universe through your heart, Merkava. And this is what it is meant when it is said, we are made in God, Goddess image. We're the image of God. We are the image of the Goddess. There's a universe inside our bodies, and the Mother, the Divine Mother, represents the universe, and we are galactic citizens. And so now we're bringing that to Earth, and how do we do that? So many of you know, I've used the term that, you know, I have a boss, and his name is the King of Swords. And the King of Swords is the divine template of Master Sananda Jesus, and he's the Admiral of the New Jerusalem. And he is incarnate now as a galactic human. He's one of the heads of the Secret Service, and he works side by side with the Syrian commander, President Obama. And the president is the ninth council member on the Syrian Council of Nine. And we are a galactic society. We are in partnerships with other galactic societies, and we're part of councils and tribunals throughout our solar system. And the solar logos, if you remember, are Helios and Vesta. And these are the spiritual parents of Sananda Kumara, living here now on Earth as King of Swords. And King of Swords speaks with me telepathically, and he brings me Faction 3 news. And his intel is 38 levels above the president. And that means it's the news from the galactics. And King of Swords works with Captain Ashtar, the Supreme Commander of the Galactic Federation. And he is Rama's father. And Rama phones King of Swords, and I'm able to ask questions through him. And Rama is the only one not working in the Secret Service who's allowed to have King of Swords' phone number. And this is where the news on the Galactic Roundtable comes from. And I follow orders from King of Swords, but he hasn't asked me to do the Galactic Roundtable. That's my choice, and I do it because Rama asked me to. And Rama is my brother, and Tara is my sister. And anything you say to me, you say to them. And I would lay my life down for them. And this is important to me. This work is very important, and I would die for it. And that's where greatness begins. And Tara brings us our galactic history. She remembers it, and she was there. Tara is a PhD. And besides that, she's literally a genius. And yesterday she brought up the Pythagorean theorem off the top of her head, and the person she was talking to thought she was joking. And I laughed. And Tara, I don't know if you guys know, but this might be a rumor, I'm not sure, but Tara has the entire Alexandria library downloaded in her mind. But she shares the teachings with us, and Tara teaches with the love of Mother as one who has lovingly transmuted atrocities you couldn't even imagine. And as she teaches, you know, we listen, and from time to time our minds are blown. She ignites a spark in the heart. So please listen attentively. It is your ticket back to the Galactic Society. You cannot be sovereign until you remember who you are. And so that brings me to where some of the confusion comes in. Why are we talking about UCC forms? And how do they relate to Nasara? King of Swords said to me in a phone call through Rama that you will become Washita. He said it is my next step, me personally. And he said it for reasons that were happening in my personal life. So I'm not saying he's telling that to everyone. I'm saying he recommended it strongly for me. And so let's think about this. Who is King of Swords' wife, Lady Master Nada? She is the president of the Solar Tribunal on Saturn. She is the best attorney in our galaxy. And she has whispered to me through King of Swords that it is time to take up my role and remember I am a sovereign sentient being and I do not answer to a fake government. And I know I'm part of the one people, the original people, and this is called Washita. And as a member, I'm recognized as a micronation as myself by the highest court in our world, which is the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And I am not chattel property, and I am not a slave, and I am not owned by a believed government. And I do not have debt. And by filing a UCC, I take up my mastery and I become part of divine law. And I lead on the path for all of those who follow me into this fifth dimensional society where we are galactic beings who do not pay taxes to a false government and do not take bank loans on real estate, which are false adhesion contracts. And by filing a UCC, I become a being who is responsible enough with money and the laws governing it to be trusted with humanitarian funding. And this is an important legal step, which is the foundation for Nasara. And you need not do this just to receive your reparation. It has nothing to do with that at all. You need to do this if you desire helping humanity. I cannot say I recommend you do. Each one must decide for themselves what their role is and what they desire for their own society. And I plan on playing a large role. And I execute my plan by acting as a mature, sovereign, sentient being who's following divine law. That is my role, and that's my plan. And that is the guidance from Lady Master Nada and King of Swords to me. And I share this as my truth, and I will tell you how to do it. Yesterday, we invited Grand Goddess Lily, and she provided us with an email where we're able to get our questions answered regarding this information. And I want to share that again with you now. It starts like this. W like Washita. W, S as in Sam, H as in hat, T as in tiger, M as in mother, I as in I am, R as in river, 7 the number 7 at gmail.com. WSHTMIR7 at gmail.com. We will post more information on the website, how to come into the knowledge of the UCC, how to file your national papers, and this is available to all people in all countries around the world. And there are certain steps that have to be followed to do it. And it supplements what I will do with my Nasara funds, and it means Nasara is coming very fast, that's why we're acting on this now. And some of you are advanced, and you know these things already, and some of you on the call are facing foreclosures today and you're unsure what to do. And we have a longtime Galactic Roundtable family member who is extremely knowledgeable about these things and has her own website. And I share this with those of you needing help. And her website is www.homeownersagainstbankfraud.ning.com. I'll repeat it. www.homeownersagainstbankfraud.ning.com. And Debbie Dubois is a powerhouse. She does everything as a spiritual service. She posts endless valuable information on her own website regarding the bank fraud. And Debbie has introduced me to Roger Calhoun. Roger is the one who flew into Atlanta to go to court with Debbie and her husband. And Roger is a national expert on bank fraud and how to handle it in the courts. He and Debbie have started a system where they're not even going through the courts anymore. They're doing everything in the mail. And both Roger and Debbie became Washita in order to carry out their lawsuits. And they both live in homes where they won the mortgage. They're living free and clear in their homes. Debbie beat Chase Manhattan Bank in the courts. She did this by dispensing her debt because she became a sovereign citizen. So please listen. Make a decision to come into your own galactic presence as part of a fifth dimensional society. I spoke with Roger on the phone for 2 hours, and I found him to be spiritual and captivating. And he has offered us 4 hours for questions and answers on the Wednesday night call. And I highly recommend you attend. And he will have you laughing, and you'll be brighter after hearing him. And please invite your friends. I want to take just a second to give an update on my friend Mark Huber. Mark has been away from his work for 9 weeks. And he's not ready to come back yet. He's doing fine, and he sends lots of love to everyone. And we're anxious and ready and waiting for when he comes back. And I would also like to say that you've been hearing Tara and Rama asking for help with donations, and I just wanted to let everyone know who doesn't know that their personal situation changed in December when they moved into their new home, and their requirements increased by about $1,500 a month a couple of months ago. And BBS Radio charges us to be on the air, and they are by far the best internet radio company out there, and we're privileged to be working with them. And so we've managed through donations to stay on the air. And BBS Radio has really worked with us, and they have made an offering where anyone who purchases archives from their station from our website, galacticroundtable.com, 60% of those sales go to our airtime. They go back to us as a donation. And there's some fine programs to tune into, which are spiritual in nature. And our donations for airtime have dwindled, and I don't ever want to come and say I won't be on the radio because I can't pay for it. I want to thank many who have given again and again, not just once. I know
who you are. I want to thank them, too.
I know who you are, and I acknowledge your loving support. And I thank you. And all of you who have not donated before and can do so, please send something via PayPal on galacticroundtable.com. I have quit my job as a registered nurse a year ago. I am a single parent, and I live with 3 children in a house in a rural area. And I receive no income from the work I do on the website or the radio. Tara and Rama likewise left work to do this full time. Rama is a master chef and has worked in, I think, something like 53 restaurants in his lifetime.
No, more like 22.
Okay, I thought that number was wrong.
Yeah, it's cool.
We cannot do these jobs, do those jobs, and work at this at the same time, and we do not have incomes. And if you feel inspired to help out, the only thing I ask is to help keep us doing the work and help us pay for broadcast time to keep getting the word out. And if you feel
I don't want to interrupt you, but did you see what Don just sent you on the message board here about the donations for what people give for buying the archives? Are there not? Not called donations. They're purchasing the archives, but look to see what he just offered us.
Thank you, Marita. Don, the owner of BBS Radio, co-owner, very, very generously just offered that if you go to galacticroundtable.com to purchase archives from BBS Radio, then he will give us 100% back to our airtime. That's ridiculous. And now I have to remind everybody, don't panic. Because all of our radio programs are free. Our archives are free. Everything we do is free. All we want to do is get the word out. All of the time I spend on the website every week, we have 20 to 25 hours of radio airtime, and all of us are here for all of those hours every week. And I don't know, I put in another 20 hours minimum on the website. We also have a Yahoo group. We also have two other websites, and I work with volunteers, and I answer emails. And we don't get paid anything. But everything we're offering is free, and it always will be free, and our archives are free. So what Don is saying is, which is unbelievably generous, is if you purchase archives to listen to the other programs produced at their radio station, he will offer that into our account to help pay for our airtime, and that's amazing. So anyone who wants to check that out, they even have a one-week subscription, and even that will go back to us. If you just want to check it out, it's there for you. Thank you very much, Don. Let's see. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yes. We thank you for helping the others, because there are some who have nothing to give, and that's why we give everything free. And none of us feel burdened that we have the lifestyles that we do. We're kind of being examples and saying, you can do it. We do it, and you're all going to be fine. There's enough money, there's enough food, there's enough air, and there's enough love for everybody. And so I just wanted to mention that I just want to briefly touch on that we've invested in another form of earning income, and I nicknamed it 777, and there will be more information on this next week. I don't want to talk about it in this space right now, but I will send an invitation to all the members of the Galactic Roundtable, but I will only do it one time. And that's because I feel you should only join it if you feel inspired to, and I don't want to influence anybody, but I do want to offer it. And this is a group of wealthy visionaries who have volunteered what they have to share to make prosperity for everyone involved. And we've been told it is legal and it is legitimate. And because of this, I will launch a new website to promote it, which is separate from everything else we do. And this new website will have Marita Robert and Tara and Rama and me on it. And this is only something you should do if you feel stirred to do it. I did, and I did join. Tara and Rama joined, and so did Marita. It can help not only us to volunteer in our work, but it can benefit you too, and it can benefit anyone who is in our shoes as well. The website is coming in the very near future, and I will let you know through the announcement on our website when it's available. And we understand our responsibilities, and this is an action step we took to ensure our own abundance. And I would like it, what I'd like to do now is I want to play 30 seconds of a song. And when you're listening, I just want you to close your eyes and think about all I've said. And after that, I'm going to lead us in a brief meditation to set the energy. And after this brief meditation, then we'll start with today's news. There's a lot to talk about. So thank you, everybody, for lending me your ear. I have this set up for 30 seconds of music, but I want to read the words of the music to you before we hear it. So take this in and think about this in relation to what I was just saying. Imagine there is no country. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you join us and the world can be as one. Now listen. Hope you close your eyes and take it in. So I think that was about 30 seconds. Thank you, everybody. What I'd like to do now is go right into a meditation. It's a brief meditation, and after that, we will do the hard news. Is everybody still there with me? Oh, I want to say, everybody, we're there. We are there. And thank you for hanging on. Okay, so if you'll please take a few breaths, we'll shift the energy here. We'll all join together in meditation. Please take in slow, deep breaths and relax. Exhale and drop your shoulders. Let your mouth relax and your face relax. And now close your eyes. Please imagine you are in a sailboat and it is warm here, but there is a cool breeze and you see the palms swaying on shore. You are in a felucca on the Nile River. You sit here as someone steers the boat. You smell jasmine in the air. You have arrived at the Temple Karnak and you disembark. It is night and your way is lit by torches in a path. And you follow this path of Peshat Sphinxes up to a grand archway which is well lit. And from here, you go and stand next to an obelisk. This is a port key which takes you straight to the antimatter universe, and you are there in a blink. Here in antimatter, it is bright light. It is the light of trillions of suns, and you fly over the white clouds, looking at the landscape there. It is so beautiful. Everything is white. You soak in the good and loving energies here. You see your guide and you pause to hear what they have to share with you about what is next. You are prepared to take the action steps needed. You will be doing things you never imagined you could. You float along as long as you can until it's time to go back to Karnak. You are again standing at the obelisk. Being here brings back so many good memories. The night sky is filled with stars, and you know you have brought back the higher energies to integrate here in Terra Nova. Thank you, everybody. And I was hoping now that maybe we can do the news. And anybody who wishes to ask a question, please feel free to call now, 415-762-1161. And in order to have due respect for all at the Galactic Roundtable, we want to keep the calls around 5 minutes and one question, and that keeps the phone lines open. And if you have another question, please call back. We're going to be on for several more hours. Call anytime. Thank you. I pass the talking stick.
Greetings.
Greetings.
I found
everybody.
Oh, my God. Thank you for hearing John Lennon.
Yes. Concur.
That was a really well prepared presentation. I loved it, Lady Master. I just want to say this is about taking responsibility. This is the truth. We are masters in bodies, every last one of us, where we wouldn't have volunteered this lifetime, including the bad boys and girls.
Yes.
We're now learning how, Jenny Logan, teach me how to love.
And in terms of the hard news out there, what I can say from what I've heard is that about, they're saying, maybe 800 people have left the planet in Chile, but I believe it's a lot more than that.
Mm.
And nobody's saying yet at the same time.
There was a statement that Lord Jamal made this morning that there was interference, although Mother Earth is still doing it. They're just encouraging it. In other words, when we heard that 350 miles of the ocean floor was ripped to shreds by this this earthquake at 8.8, and that it was 500 times more forceful than what they did in Hawaii. And we can see that their malintent has gone berserko again.
And it's got to do with the whole different understanding and reality that, like Benjamin Fulford said, these folks are not from here. He all but said it, that they're alien. And I wouldn't use the word alien. I would just say that they are a different culture. And their culture is one of technological and scientific advancement.
Who said that out loud? Somebody said it on the news.
And they're genetically...
Ben Fulford said it,
right.
Okay. Yeah. These folks are reptilian brothers and sisters, and some of the Syrians, some of the Greys, or the Asanis, they got compromised in the mix when the J-Man, Jehovah, I like to call him Yahvah.
Well, Jehovah is the shadow side of God.
Right.
And that, again, the law of sacrifice we volunteered to go through. We volunteered even though we didn't need to do it. That's really important. We didn't need to do it for our own personal self. Yet we made the commitment when we created this whole firmament, heaven, earth, by agreement, we promised, we made a bodhisattvic vow, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, meaning that we would stay to the last because we already didn't need to do this, but yet we would do it anyway because it's for the sake of our DNA healing that we would come here and do that.
I didn't have to come here in 1933. I volunteered and I said, I want to do this.
Well, you didn't come here in 1933. You just went to the Solar Tribunal. You looked down here and said, I'll wait a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we had to stop Hitler. And Saint Germain stopped him. And I'll put it that way. Along with the entire intergalactic confederations of worlds. And it's coming to pass full circle again. We are stopping Hitler once again.
Yeah, Hitler hasn't been stopped yet.
Yeah.
Although he has. At
That's
another level.
Right.
The only way it's completely stopped is that we get that programming stopped, meaning religion, politics and science and all the other disciplines that emanate from those three basic ones need to be lifted out of the gutter. And they need to be lifted out of the gutter by our divinity. And that's why we're getting such a shot of energy right now with Grand Goddess Lily and Brother Lord Jamal. He said, and when we do this UCC thing, that we need to hand write everything.
Longhand.
And that's right. The only way, because we had some wonderful teachings about the Vimala alphabet, which is a feminine way to write the letters, as well as a feminine way to understand the meaning of what we're writing, and Cynthia put it in her book, Divine Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Color, sound, and vibration, and numerical code of every single letter. And the only way that the language of love can come back is that we put our hand in this. And when we do that, it changes the program. It changes the program.
And it changes our DNA. And what I heard today...
And then we have to follow it up with discipline.
And I'm sorry I've been going round and round with the news, Beth.
I haven't started hyperventilating yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say I talked to Tom the cat today.
Oh, there she goes now.
Along with the poppy.
Okay, you got me going now.
Along with the poppy lady, and on all seriousness, this is what is going on out there, that it has to do with the final exposure of our wayward brothers and sisters from the other dimensions and galaxies who have created this web of deceit called The Matrix, and it's being exposed with all the different stories out there that have to do with how they weave their web that has to do with something called the phantom economy and money for nothing and chicks for free, as that mm-hmm. song has put it.
Yeah.
And what did Mother, Father, God's firstborn son do? It was getting caught in the matrix, in the sense that we understand there are only the laws of the one creative source. Yet when we came to this polarity dimension universe, the laws of free will choice came into play, and there were the laws of free will choice as well as the laws of the one. And let's say we began to explore these ideas of propagation and seeding and following the plan as it began 450 billion years ago with the seeding of the life forms throughout the universes. This was the original story. It still is today. It's come full circle, 26,826 years that these Anunnaki Elohim knew that it would come full circle. Now Nibiru is here. I mean, I've been saying this for years, that everybody says, oh, take off the tinfoil hat. Even Rachel Meadows has been putting the tinfoil hat on. If you can see it on MSNBC, and I kid you not.
She says, I like props.
it works. I mean, we are, in a sense, it is like what a picture, you know? Dr. Phil Valentine just said it yesterday. Look at the cleft of Venus. There ain't nothing else to do. And the man is here. And he mm-hmm. said, I will stand down with all the nukes. Then Ashtar and Sananda can land. And we can have this conversation about peace. And it's coming to pass right now. This is the news that the Tom the Cat and the Poppy Lady is talking about. There are less than 100 members of Taliban, if that, in Afghanistan. And the other Al-Qaeda, well, Al-Qaeda...
Imagine having 30,000 troops to fight 100 Taliban. This is get a lifetime, everybody.
Well, it's
one
like,
good woman clean that place up, I'm telling you.
And the story in Afghanistan's not about oil. It's about the Stargate, the ancient warlords and the Mujahideen, even the people that followed the land of the Buddha. I mean, Gautama Siddhartha Buddha was born in northern Afghanistan. And so was Rumi. I think Rumi was too. And all of these teachers that know the story of how the Moorish people, the Tamil Nadu, the Mu, and it goes back to Merk and Lady of the Sun that came here from Venus and said, here are the laws on the Telosonian plates to do this with grace, dignity, and beauty, and justice. And right now what's unfolding is all of these things are coming back into place, and are the ones with the dark hats, the ones that represent that 1% of the wealthiest people on the planet, all of their money is disappearing into sand, and their mm-hmm. collateral is disappearing as well, and there is nothing to back them up. In the sense where they're going to find out there is no gravity either. and they're going to be like the fool walking on the water and on the air. And
now, that's a real truth, everybody. There is no gravity holding us at all.
No.
We are anti-gravity beings, and that is where the shift hits the fan right now. When that galactic presence is announced, all these technologies are based on anti-gravity, not gravity at all. And that means they knew what they were doing when they created a separation from the mind with the heart. And news, Lord Jamal said those words, the word news, N-E-W-S, north, east, west, and south.
That's where the
and
news comes
so
from.
The news doesn't come from one place anymore. And the news that they are giving does come from one place in their faith system. And the money system intervened with divine law and replaced demonic law in its place. So we are really now handwriting our way to freedom. And we have to bring the news, and we have to get our free speech back. And that's what we're doing. And thank you, Don, because what you said this morning, and then Don immediately responding and saying, we want to get this word out. Now we're going to give you 100% to get these tapes out.
This is about how we heal this with love. I mean, this is what the Dalai Lama and Queen Noor and all these other magical people that rarely get to share their news. And I mean, oh, I should tell the story if I can get through it without crying my eyes out.
You can.
Okay. I heard a story on Peace Talks Radio about these Iraqi war vets and Vietnam vets and even the Afghani war vets, and they're coming back. Okay, Frank, yes.
Everybody, I'm your newest fan, biggest fan.
hi, Frank.
Hi. I just want to say yesterday was a great show, and I think Lily is amazing because I've heard of this straw man thing for a while, but there just wasn't enough information. And did you guys say that you guys were going to come out with a website to give more information out on this in the future?
No. Wait. Hold on. What I said, Frank, is two things. I have a website right now. We have a website right now called galacticroundtable.com. And we will, on that website, give out more information about this, and it will be ongoing. And okay. Then as far as a new website, that will be something completely different about abundance and prosperity. And that announcement will go out one time to the members of the Galactic Roundtable.
Okay, okay. I want to say one more thing. I want to add one more thing about that, Beth. And
yes,
Frank.
Please.
And that yes. We have hopefully going to have the reference to Zodiacus.proboards with an S.com. And that's where you can study how to
right.
do this and learn everything there. There is so much information on there that you don't know. Just go there and do it. And what she's telling you is that you have an intelligent divine mind and that it will magnetize that energy to you as you learn what to do. And you can do it all by yourself. As you're not quite capable for some reason or another, you need some kind of help, then Grand Goddess Lily and another goddess, I forgot her name, yet you will have all that information, will be able to be contacted, and all of that's on their website too, for help. And the way that
Tara. Frank, I wanted to say, if you go to the galacticroundtable.com and you look at the blogs in the center of the page, if you go to the bottom and click on View All, and there's an article that I wrote called Becoming Washita, and inside that article,
yeah, I got that one.
There are all the links to that website are there, and I also updated it yesterday with the Gmail address to ask questions.
Yes. Okay. And one last thing.
Others who don't know Frank, so go ahead.
I have a friend that I wasn't able to get him to listen to this yesterday, but he's listening now. And I told him about this, and I don't think that he believes me a little bit. And he currently has a lot of student loans and credit card debt. And I was wondering if you could just briefly just go over that filing the UCC form.
Okay, Frank, listen. Tell your friend we are going to have four hours dedicated to this on Wednesday night, and so we're not going to talk about it anymore right now.
Okay.
So
Wednesday night will be all about that.
So please come. I have Roger Calhoun coming. He is unbelievable. He will blow your mind. He's already Ouachita. He's doing this. He's taking it through the courts. And he is all about giving out free information, and he's very generously decided to come on our Galactic Roundtable call on Wednesday night. So both of you come back then, please. All of you come back then.
Okay, great.
And I want to thank you very much,
and bless you all for bringing all this to us.
Everybody can ask unlimited questions for 4 hours on Wednesday just on this topic.
Okay, great. I can't wait. Thank you very much.
Me too. Thank you, Frank.
And hi, Adam. Bye.
Thank you, Adam. I look forward to seeing you again. Rama, I'm sorry. You were telling a story about something you heard about these veterans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I won't forget here. I was hearing this on Peace Talks Radio. I don't know if it was a repeat or not, but it was about these Iraqi war vets, even Vietnam vets, and Afghani war vets coming back, and some of these people, let's just say they were so traumatized by the war that they've been in and out of jail, in and out of drug rehab, in and out of, you know, some of the worst conditions. Some of them have been hooked on heroin, and they've been getting healing and treatment by this unique program that's going on here, where they get to work with horses, and they care for the horses, they ride them, they work with them day in, day out. It's 2 o'clock. And these folks, they actually break in the horses and the young foals as they grow up, and they, you know, go through the process of, you know, becoming a full-grown horse. And I admit I don't know much about this, yet I do know how to ride. But what I'm trying to say is that there is this consciousness, you know, the movie, The Horse Whisperer. People are having this understanding of the telepathic communication between all living beings, different cultures, and the stories about the centaurs are real. These beings were actually here on planet Earth, and it was because of the cohabitation between humans and horses, and that was one of the violations of the laws of the One. Yet we had free will choice to play with this stuff as we were light beings, clear as quartz crystal. We could walk in and out of mountains, out of water, out of oceans. You could walk right to the bottom of the ocean, and you could breathe. You could talk to the
fish. Yeah, because we were fish people the first time.
Yeah.
And the fish
talk back to you.
That's right.
And they all you can feel coming from them is love. All they want to tell you is that they love you.
That's right.
So much love that you just want to cry the whole time.
What I want to say about that, too, is that as fish people, we can remember now what we were able to do as fish people. And as we played around in the ancient land of Mu, the motherland, we interbreeded with other species, which was against cosmic law. Yet now we have these creatures symbolized. For instance, Sagittarius is centaur energy. Mm-hmm. So we can remember when we were centaurs, and some of us can remember very well. And we can remember the qualities and come back as a Sagittarius, and we do. We actually choose those things. Okay, so I just passed the coffee stick just so you know the power of love is all embracing.
And what I heard on Peace Talks Radio is that these bats are coming back to wholeness and balance and just incredible states of ecstasy and joy and being able to go out and function with their families and not freak out and go through flashbacks or any kind of trauma and actually put it behind them and help other vets get to the place where they can talk about this and heal each other in loving presence and not be afraid to cry or express the feelings that come up. And this is just amazing because it is this time what has been said, where the lion shall lie down with the lamb. This is what Mother always talks about. And then we can really heal her story once and for all, that the goddess never left. She's always been here, yet the male patriarchy took her to the place where they did this spin on it. And some of it was positive, some of it was negative. And 26,826 years of spin are ending now. And people are waking up and going, holy shite, I don't know how to wake up and be okay with it. And I might have to act out because I'm not used to this. And that's where we got to send these ones even more love, because right now is the moment where it is all falling apart. Like everyone is saying, Rome is in pieces and the naked emperors are still wandering around thinking they got their imaginary crowns on, yet they don't have any power, and the money and the absolute power is drifting like sand every single second right now. And the next step is where the Syrian commander takes off the commander-in-chief hat and says, I represent the Council of Nine, and we're going to heal this with peace and with love. And also, what I heard today concerning the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is it's coming to a place where Mr. Maliki is an interesting character, because he was put in place by these folks who created the overthrow of Saddam anyways, and they were all tied in with the Bush-Clinton crime family. Mm-hmm. And it is all part of this game that was part of the Matrix, and what's happening right now is Blackwater has no power in Iraq any longer. And also what is being said is many of the old Iraqi army is being rehired, and folks are coming back to some form of normalcy, yet it's not normal when the U.S. is still occupying Iraq and it has to end. This is what is being said on all levels. The poppy lady said the U.S. has to leave Afghanistan, and The understanding here is where we take this to the place like what Greg Mortensen talks about, three cups of tea, rather than a military junta helping out with the building of hospitals and schools. And what is the green zone? But, you know, I mean, I talk with Iraqi people here in this city, and they just say that this is just another place that the U.S. set up in Iraq, in Baghdad, to try to use the underground entrances into the ziggurats to activate the stargates. The stargates will not work without love. I pass the talking stick.
I have a couple of news stories that I feel compelled to talk about them. Some important things are going on.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't mean to go on a rant.
You weren't. That's what the Sunday call's about, just catching up with everything.
Yeah.
Now, I, you know, caught what you said about these politicians are, you know, down to their last nickel and they don't have anything anymore, and they want to get their power back. They know that everything's over, and now they're just fighting.
They're fighting with each other, and what?
They're just fighting to stay afloat. That's why they will not deal with the health care, because that is the way that they make money. It's all.
That's what I want to talk about, exactly.
You got the talking stick, Lady Master.
Okay, now, many of you do not know, I am a registered nurse, and I worked in the intensive care units for 16 years. I worked at Grady Hospital in Atlanta, which is the number one, level one trauma center in the Southeast, and the physicians who work there are the best Vietnam meatball surgery surgeons anywhere, and they have an internationally known textbook they've written, and they're the ones who mentored me. And I also worked at the University of Minnesota working with transplant doctors who are doing surgeries that no one else in the country is doing. And I've done neurological trauma and cardiology and emergency room for 16 years. Not only that, I also, outside of the hospital, worked as a nurse consultant. And I worked for ING Re. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. And I worked for Swiss Re. What is that? It is reinsurance. What is reinsurance? Reinsurance is the insurance that the healthcare companies buy to cover the people who blow through their policies. I also worked for United Health Group. And when I worked at United Health Group, I worked as a nurse consultant, and my job was to look at the bills from the doctor's offices and tell the insurance company how much the patient was going to blow through based on their medical report. So I have literally read thousands of medical reports for insurance companies showing all the amounts that are charged for everything. I have seen fraud. I've seen double billing. I have an expertise in this, and that's where I'm coming from when I give my opinion. And when you guys write me an email and I say, oh, that's a false flag, get over it, I'm kind of, you know, shortcutting it all, because my opinion is based on literally a career of information in the medical field, in the hospitals, working with the finest doctors we have. And I have worked with these professionals who are just wanting to heal and do good. And I've worked with the ones who don't have licenses, and you can tell the difference. And I've worked with everything in between. And I'm furious, and I have a right to be, because when these Sunday shows come on and they're interviewing the senators, I'll give you an example. Tom Coburn, he's the poster child for the AMA, and there's no bones about it, and there's nothing you can say to convince me, because he's The only thing he's spouting is the AMA position, that we need to have tort reform and fraud control. And he says, you know, that's all we need. And he's one of those ones that wants to get their power back, and he feels, you know, promoting the AMA's position on this will save his bones, and he's wrong. And then we have the senator from South Dakota, I forgot his name, chairman of budget or something like that. And he's trying to tell everybody, we're never going to get this through reconciliation, because reconciliation is a parliamentary term that the Senate adopted, and it's only for budget processes, and it's not for this kind of bill. And, you know, he's full of baloney, too. And they're just trying to put us all in fear, and we all know. Look, I was there at United Health Group, and I went to their employee meetings, and I heard what their stock market values were. They gave us all the inside information. Because I was a nurse in that role, they told me what they charged for chemotherapy. Breast cancer chemotherapy drugs. I was sent by them to a 3-day seminar schooling me on the chemotherapy drugs and what they cost and how they use them in the patients. And all the doctors who, all the oncologists who were at that 3-day meeting said they do not work. And they all said, we give our patients the choice of staying on chemo or going off of chemo, and almost all of them choose to stay on because a lot of them are women in their 30s and 40s, and they have children, and they don't know what else to do, and they die anyway. These chemotherapy bags cost $25,000 a bag, and I am not kidding you. I also worked in an oncology clinic where the pharmacist wouldn't prepare the chemotherapy bag until they were sure that that patient had walked in the door to get treatment that day and that they were cleared. And they would have the nurses check the lab, consult with the doctor, confirm the patient was there, then they would mix up the medicine. So I've seen all sides of this argument. And so I don't want any senators or any doctors telling me that they know more than I do. And so I want to talk about the three things that they're saying on the news about the health care bill, because we need to stay informed about this thing. They're talking about exchanges, and they're using these words that are stupid and make us all feel that they're smarter than us and we don't know anything. So I want to tell you what an exchange is. It's when small business owners come together as a larger group to get to get the cost of premiums to go down, because they pool their resources and they ask the insurance company to look at them as a group and give them a cheaper premium. That's what an exchange is. It's real simple. So don't let these words they're using throw you off. Then they're talking about tort reforms, and what does that mean? And that's basically caps on negligence. And I'm talking about medical negligence. I am a certified legal nurse consultant, and I've been through advanced training in the legal field for, I've been trained to find negligence in the medical record. That's what I was doing, reading those thousands of cases. They didn't put a medical case on my desk until it had reached $700,000 for one medical case. How does that happen? These were workers' comp cases, and you got a guy in a car, and he's a salesman, and he's driving from his company to a sales call, and a Mack truck hits his car. He breaks his back. He flies out the windshield at highway speeds, and he hits the concrete. He has a back injury and a head injury. He's in a wheelchair. He is paraplegic, and he has lots of issues. Those worker comp claims go higher than what he was insured for his lifetime. And when that happens, reinsurance kicks in, and that's who I was working for, workers' comp reinsurance. These are big companies. These are international companies, and they are gajillionaires, and it's ridiculous. And so they would have me read the case, and they would have me tell them if there's some way they can save money on the treatments he's getting. So tort reform means wherever there's negligence, you know, there's some lawsuits that are very clear that they should be settled and they should get a lot of money because something very bad happened. And those are kind of obvious. But what's happened in America is that there's frivolous lawsuits that have driven up insurance claims, and it's ridiculous. And what the attorneys would do if they had their choice, in the state where I live, they have caps, and you can't go, the attorneys can't make more than $25,000 on workers' comp, so there's no incentive to drag everything out. They just settle everything and they're done. But in other states, it's different, and it can be very bad. And so caps on negligence, where that comes to play for health insurance is all of these frivolous lawsuits. They're saying if we have tort reforms, what we're going to do is instead of having a trial, we're going to have a committee of three judges decide these medical cases, and on this committee we're going to put doctors, and your lawsuit's not going to hit their desk unless it's been reviewed by a panel of doctors, and the doctors have said there might be negligence in this case. If we did that tort reform right there, that would save the insurance company's money, and we should do that. Then the third thing they're talking about is fraud, and the fraud is rampant. It is set up by the government to be easy to fraud Medicare, and the government and the doctors and the hospitals and the insurance companies work together committing fraud with double billing and kickbacks and things that would make your head spin. And they're all making money off of kickbacks and fraud. All of them are. And one of the things they're saying is that what they have built into this healthcare bill is they want to model what Mayo in Rochester, Minnesota is doing for their business plan. They want to have the other hospitals pick up on what they're doing. And one of the things, what they're talking about there is this. They're talking about the exchanges. The state of Minnesota decided as a group they were going to go to the insurance companies for their employees. But what they did was they got several gigantic companies together that all worked downtown in Minneapolis, and all these companies pooled together, and they all went to their insurance agents, and they said, we are not writing a contract for health care insurance for our employees until you price us all together. And they got this gigantic conglomeration of several very large corporations, and they forced the insurance companies to bring them a quote on all those employees and bring the costs down. Minnesota spearheaded this back in the early 1990s, and they were they're the national gold star winners of the best use of forcing the insurance companies to keep costs down, and that's what they're talking about there. And now they're making a big to-do about the reconciliation process, and you know, Nancy Pelosi is saying we can have an up or down vote and pass this through reconciliation. I don't know, Rama, if you want to add your 2 cents about that part of it or other stuff that I said about this.
What I can say about it, thank you, Beth. Yeah, you should hear the stories I've heard Bernie Sanders talk about of people from Vermont who have gone through heaven and high water to try to get universal health care, and all they have gotten is red tape, and some have died, and it's not...
It's a complete century, everybody. This issue has been dragged for a century.
I personally am holding out for universal care. I think it's what we need based on what I've seen. And I've seen enough nightmare stories of sick people and their families to cry from now until all next year.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm going to say something about that because that is exactly, it's not what we need. It's our right. It is an unalienable right, which these guys have on purpose with that banker's manifesto and creating the party system all at once. The party system was developing over the first 100 years, yet it was usurpated from the very beginning, and it was set on the premise that only white Anglo men had any rights whatsoever. I mean, it's a long way from Tipperary to say that was our Declaration of Independence. Okay, there you go.
And what I can say about reconciliation is that my understanding from folks that I've talked to, with Randy Rhodes and Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo, they got enough votes to put this through right now. That's right.
And I don't want anyone else to say anything different, because whatever it is, it's not true.
That's right.
And that's why I spend all that time explaining all those different things, because anyone you talk to when you're having coffee tomorrow morning, you'll be able to tell them what those things mean.
Yes, and Tom Hartman has said this, along with Bernie Sanders, that they are going to just go ahead and make this happen because it was Ted Kennedy's dream. As this would happen, it brings it into the realm of infinite possibilities where, and I know that he's changed his mind in the sense where he said he may not run. Joe Kennedy.
Who said they may not run?
Joe Kennedy and Patrick Kennedy. These are...
You know what I think is going to happen? Caroline Kennedy is going to come out with who killed her father.
This is what's about to pop.
And that will end running for anything with a party system.
And
there will be no more elections that we thought were elections, because they never were. And it's ending right now with this man leading the way, provided we fill in the blanks. There, it takes, you ever hear that thing, it says it takes two to tangle? Well, the second part of that is the polity, and that means all of us. And we void ourselves of the position of free speech in the polity as we don't do it.
As Swami Beyondananda said, it is about electile dysfunction. Yes.
Oh, my God.
And there is no amount of Viagra that can cure it. I got to lighten it up here. Come on.
That's pretty good, Rama.
Well, I've been studying the holodeck for a while with Mother. And public funded elections, this is what they are talking about, not these elections that are set up by the Electoral College and the 13 families who already handpicked their next in line. And that's why they're playing with grooming Miss Caribou Barbie with Glenn Beck and the other games.
Okay. And I just want to say something to end this discussion.
Yeah.
What Lord Jamal was, not Lord Jamal, Brother Mel Free L. He has an astrology class, and he talked about magic this morning, and he said, this is such a powerful statement. He said, magic equals wisdom understood.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
That's more than cool. That is a wise domain and the understanding as to how it can be created. And that equals magic, and that's the missing link.
This is Saint Germain, Merlin.
The polity is ignorant of the blueprint from which we created ourselves. We created ourselves from the blueprint of Saint Germain, literally, and we created the genealogy, that means what we can do with this body by receiving the true value of what we do with this body for work, and love is work made manifest, and nothing else is work. So when we say, I got to go to work today, what we need to make sure of right now while we do this, that it is about what we just said, love being mm-hmm. that work made manifest. Now, how simple can this get as a formula for freedom and for healing and for peace and for justice and for harmony and for balance on this planet?
Patricia from Arizona, line one.
Hi.
Hi.
Patrice, it's Patrice, not Patricia, but I'm kind of backpedaling. I have a question. Rama, you were talking about the Mideast, and about 2 seconds on TV, maybe even a year ago, there was a blurb that they covered up real quick talking about an embassy that was being built in Iraq that is bigger than Vatican City. Can you enlighten us on that?
Yeah, it's 3,000 square feet.
That is the green zone.
I mean, 3,000 yards or something. I don't know.
That is the green zone.
I thought it was something bigger, different. I thought it was a big city-like embassy.
It's so huge.
The green zone is something.
Okay, now different. I think let's put it this way. If it's bigger than the Vatican, and the Vatican is a country,
yeah,
and it's, I believe, 7 square miles. So it's bigger than that.
Oh, well, this is news to me.
In terms of its structure, it may go way up and wide and around and down below the earth. In other words, the dimensions are not just on the surface, you might say. Okay, so this
They were saying that there were shopping there, people could live there. It was huge, and it was in Iraq. It was a seat of our government, and some people were saying that it was that when they did declare global one world government, that the government from America would more or less abandon the U.S. and be the world seat there.
Okay, now
so
let me add something to that.
It's a big complex.
Let me add something to that, because just yesterday we talked about this in terms of what the money scene is for these guys around building something like that and using it. And what did they do to get that money? They stole the bank. They stole the bank of Iraq. What's his name? The first guy, Bremer did.
Pro Council Bremer.
And there was $3 trillion in the Pentagon that went missing at the same time as 9/11. And Cynthia McKinney, who is one of the 14 members of Congress that they were going to put in prison, the police were on the steps, and she didn't have her ID that day. And she was a congresswoman. And they almost put her in prison, and they were going to do something that wasn't pretty when they put you in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take but just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just telling you that these people, exactly as what Beth did when she came on the call, she bore witness to her soul, and she affirmed that that was her truth. And so it is. And then she taking responsibility for doing that and describing how. And she made a commitment when she realized something more than she even knew before she realized it. What did she realize? She realized that she knew she was a walk-in. She knew that she saved the life of the beautiful, sacred body. The beautiful, sacred body had already been beaten out of here. In other words, the soul in that body literally left. And the soul of an angel called Beth walked into the body. Why? Because, remember, the Ashtar Command on Earth is a real power.
Yes, it is.
Where the seat of power for Earth is at the moment in that district of criminals. and the District of Criminals are exposing themselves even at the moment as we speak for one reason and one reason alone, that what they did by thinking that they could play with $3 trillion from the Pentagon and not even just cover it up, just like a few minutes of a bleep, only she said it on the floor of Congress on C-SPAN, and you know that our mission has been to watch like a hawk and to do it all the time. And Cynthia McKinney, like all these other 1,200 White House correspondents and all the others in the media and in the political sphere and in the wealthy visionary sphere, they have been called the Goodly Company to deal what our true value of the use of this sacred body is. And Beth said, I know what the true value of that is, and I'm coming. And there you are. You know, and she was having a divine intervention. She was a divine intervener, as she was not the soul that came in with that body. And when one is harmed, all is harmed. And now we are in galactic intervention mold. As a matter of fact, at the level we're talking about, we're in it since 2005 of September 29th. And the reason is that what was torn asunder before that by these 13 families, and even at that, when the Rothschilds moved out by their own doing and undoing, when they orchestrated through Hitler and Queen Elizabeth a soul hijacking, which only became in behalf of the feminine aspect of that non-existent, a figurehead representing the power of that body, holding behind it a 300 crew of men who are only shape-shifted as reptiles to look like men, and they're demonic to say the least, and their purpose for goodness on this earth is to be recognized. And you know what? Every time you see something that is not of love and recognize the loving goodness of what you can do about it, that is the only reason it's there for you to view. And so when Beth saw, and she and the entire Ashtar Command were on red alert since September 29th of 2005, she came in right before that. You came in 2005. Do you remember what's the birthday of your intervention? What day, year of that year did you come in, Beth?
It was actually, October in 2003.
Okay, so you came ahead of time. Let me tell you what happened in 2003. Mm. It was, Rama wants to say something. What, honey?
I found this happened today on Huffington Post. The head of Amenhotep III, a red granite head, which alone is about the height of a person, was dug out of the ruins of the pharaoh's mortuary temple in the southern city of Luxor.
Oh, my God.
That's Thutmose III.
No.
So Amenhotep III, which is Akhenaten's father.
That means Rama's daddy at the moment.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
And remember that we never died.
No.
We did not die in Egypt.
No,
we didn't. Did not. We were calling ourselves the Goodly Company, and guess what we used? Now, this is what was very clever about this. We used the law of the one, and we used good understanding of, what was that name of that again? Magic equals wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually used cloning and left an image of ourselves, a clone of ourselves, and then the others were challenged, yes, to know that. And even amongst the disciples, that was going on. There is no jokes in the universe, and everyone. Now, I'm going to say this too, because, you know, then we are really understand the history of the last 13,000 years since Egypt. Meaningful timing being at the time of Akhenaten, because those of us who were there at the time of Akhenaten, things were changing. Yet before that, was Atlantis and the destruction of the central nervous system, the means of relaying information from all of our endocrine systems and our outer etheric physical aura, meaning our communication with our feminine. We were completely turned downward. That and it reached bottom right at the time of Akhenaten. I mean, bottom. It was not before that. It was a physical injury that was reverberating before that, which was a period of time in Egypt and Atlantis that went from 11,500 years ago was the buildup, so that was like 9,500 BC to Akhenaten. When were you in there? In the 18th dynasty,
mm-hmm.
And that was the and that 18th dynasty started off
3000 BC.
Huh?
Was it 3000 or 1500 BC?
It was 1500, and then it came down. Yes, and that's the real timing of the story of David and Solomon, not the other stuff. That other stuff's not the stuff. That's being said, you know, we were talking more in the Hebrew chronology that it was like 950 that David and Solomon happened, and I'm going to get accurate. I've been looking for the book here. I found it. I want to be really accurate about this, because this is, where's my magnifying glass? Here it is. Okay. Rama, would you set that light up? Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's getting, yeah, well, there's a little bit of sun. How about that?
Getting snow again in New Mexico.
Okay, David. I'm going to read this. This will make more sense. I've read it before, yet, you know, we got to go over this stuff when it's appropriate. So, accepted Israel biblical chronology. David from 1010 B.C. to 970 B.C., 40 years. And then corrected chronology. David is 1580 B.C. to 1540 B.C., 40 years. Accepted Egyptian chronology. And it says Amosah the First, 1580 BC to 1558 BC, 22 years. So David was 40 years and Amenhotep was 22 years. Now remember we talked about rays of energy that come in and that they have a meaning, okay? So, and remember, at the time of David, it wasn't just David doing it. There were a whole goodly company of us that hadn't died, that were there in Egypt doing it. And we were galactic in nature, and we were intervening without mortality as the belief system, and with immortality. Yet in that level, it wasn't going to be intervened upon. Mother said non-intervention in the civilization's development unless in case of nuclear holocaust or psychic holocaust. This was a case of psychic holocaust, to say the least, not to mention nuclear holocaust. Sodom and Gomorrah was a nuclear holocaust, everyone. And it was an attempt by others of us who couldn't take it anymore. They were mad as hell, and the Anunnaki were that, yet they did not come to the round table. And that's the same one called George Bush Jr. He didn't come to the round table, did he, when he went in there into Iraq?
No.
No.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, so we go from there, from 1558 B.C., we go to Amunhotep I. So, because we're coming up to what we just said about the head of Amunhotep III. This means a lot. Okay, so 1558 B.C., to 1545 B.C., we have 13 years. And we said David was from 1580 Amosa the First to 1540 B.C., which was almost but for 5 years to the end of the reign of Amunhotep III. And 13 years plus 22 years, that's 35 years. Okay, yes, so Thutmose the First now enters the scene from 1545 B.C. to 1514 B.C. That's 31 years. So only the first 5 years of Thutmose the First was the last 5 years of David's reign. And then we come to Solomon in the accepted Israel biblical chronology. They say Solomon came in when David went out at 970 B.C. to 931 B.C., and that was a chronology that lasted 39 years. Solomon in the corrected chronology was in there from 1540 B.C. when David left to 1501 B.C., exactly 39 years. And Thutmose, we've got to go to Thutmose. So the first 5 years of Thutmose the First were still from 1545 to 1540. So Thutmose came in 1545. So in 1540, he came in at the, then Solomon came into reign right then and there, 5 years into Thutmose the First. And then they shared that role at that timing, Thutmose did, till 1514. And so Solomon was finished in 1501, so we have some more time. The beginning of the timing, the completion of the cycle actually was where the reign of Thutmose II was. And that was from 1514 B.C. to 1501 B.C., which is 13 years. Okay, so we've got Solomon ending up in 1501 B.C. and Thutmose II ending up in 1501 B.C. Okay, now we're coming up to Thutmose. Not quite. Okay, wait a minute. So then the next one was, okay, this is Rehoboam from South Judah. And they say in the accepted Israel biblical chronology that timing was from 931 when Solomon left B.C. to 914 B.C., 17 years. And in the corrected chronology, they say Rehoboam, South Judah, came in 1501 B.C. when Solomon did leave and ended in 1484, exactly the same 17 years. So now we have 1501 B.C., when Thutmose left. So then we look, Solomon left in 1501 B.C. So then Hatshepsut. Now it says Hatshepsut came in 1514 B.C., Well, that must have been because Thutmose II came in 1514 B.C., and he was probably too young. So so Hatshepsut said, so we're going to study this now. Hatshepsut co-regented with Thutmose II and III until 1480 BC when she died. So again, Hatshepsut was in there for 34 years from 1514 BC, and then it says here, until 1480 BC when she died. Okay, now we go back to Roboam, and that says 1484, so we still have some more in the true accepted Egyptian chronology. Once Hatshepsut did some time, you might say, co-regenting, both with Thutmose II and Thutmose III, something very important was going on there. There was something called co-regency going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly. Lord Jamal this morning said the last names were all changed, and I mean changed, and the spelling and everything, to have a meaning that's not very nice. When people came over here to, and even in their own family bloodlines, remember we said Bauer family was changed to Rothschild. Kennedys are not Kennedys, they're Rothschild. And the Bowers, they come from before that, and the Kennedys are the Irish part of that clan. That's all. And then there's a French part, the Spanish part, and all over Europe. What was this about? It was about black. It was about black. All the Europeans were originally black. How do you suppose we found out that Queen Elizabeth I was a Moor with dark skin? She just got usurped, raped, and integrated, and maybe melanin drawn out of the skin. Not maybe. We don't mean maybe, baby. These 13 families did that experiment when they were back. And you know what they did in the meantime? To kill their women, because they didn't want that to be detected in Queen Elizabeth, because she was very, very obviously. And you look at that Venus palette. She had thick lips, Lady Master. And, I mean, it's all to defile the mother that this was done. And it was divine, because the mother says, I am the light and the dark mother. And we're going to do this with peace and flowers. And, you know, not one bullet really did get shot in the ultimate final, you might say, they shoot horses, don't they, in the last killing fields. And Brother Solomon was bringing up that the squares and the oppositions here to Venus, I can't repeat it exactly, but on Monday, tomorrow, in terms of darkness, would mean lots of killing, lots and lots and lots of killing. And so it could, and it's a square and an opposition to Venus. That's a double effort that the dark side is in very, very tight constraints with, because the square represents a limitation to how much of that gets done, and it has to do with money, and they don't have it. So now what that other opposition is that we saw it on Thursday. We saw a limited square room with a bunch of babysitting going on. And we saw these guys drop their drawers
With their Etch-a-Sketches.
And this is the misuse of, this brings me to Christ was hung. This is what Lord Jamal said. It was in Acts. I don't remember the verse in the chapter, but this is why we want to read the numerical translation of everything. And the way you do that, that's why every letter in every word has a number. And numbers has to do with the mathematics of the harmonics. of the universe, and harmony is at the heart chakra. That's why there's a flame, a threefold flame in the chest, 13 millimeters from the sternum in the left cavity where the heart is. And it is the threefold flame visible to assist, and there are three chambers. There is the lower, middle, and upper heart chambers. And there is a lower, middle, and higher way to understand and make a wise domain by using thought with those qualities that we attribute to heart energy, and then we apply it at the highest chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we must have the knowledge of all the truths. In other words, love is not enough. That was the book that was rewritten. And that has to do also with present time. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It is impossible to be in present time until you know the truth about his story. Because man crucified Christ. That's what Lord Jamal pointed out. What does it mean to be hung on a tree? And he went to the etiology of the penis, actually, in terms of it being that tree. That means it was hung by the misqualified use of what we're, you know, blessed to know now, that the genealogy and our soul itself comes from the mother. So when you misuse that body part and hang Christ on the cross and crucify him, we get the law of sacrifice and it never ends. Infinite samsara, eh? What did the Buddha say? What did the Buddha say? Does anybody know? It's real simple. Mapashat means simple. He said pain is inevitable. He said suffering is optional. So when somebody says optional for all the trimmings of suffering, you can opt out. Do you know you have a choice? You can say no. Thank you very much.
I'll have some stuffing and no turkey.
Well, okay, now let's take that to the highest chamber of the heart. You know, these guys are turkey dogs with their doggies. I'm just referring to something humorous right now. Because what did these, you know, what these conniving ones did, thinking that's funny, 6,000 years ago in their little laboratories on their ships, what did they do? They changed the DNA. Yeah, they did. They did it way back there 6,000 years ago. They did. What did they do? They microchipped and programmed a program.
The island of Dr. Moreau, if you remember that movie.
Okay, let's show you. No, when Dr., when the Zetas got permission from Eisenhower, that's a signed document. You might say those football fields.
They told Eisenhower they would kill him if he did not sign the document.
Well, okay, now let me explain something. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Okay, yes, because the CIA was involved. And
Ashtar.
And the Zetas were very not good. And Ashtar came to Patterson Air Force Base and met Eisenhower, too, and they don't tell that story.
And Ashtar had a talk, and Ashtar said, we will help you dismantle all the nukes overnight. I mean, this could happen in 7 days. This planet would be nuclear free. And Eisenhower said, if I do that, sir, they will kill me and my family.
That's correct. And Eisenhower was an adept spiritual being who volunteered, a member of the Ashtar Command, to intervene in the civilization's development. Now, he was having a human experience, and he made a choice to at least write what he wanted to say, knowing they weren't going to let him say everything he wanted to say anyway, and we now know what was on there, and we have that in that football fields of evidence. And what did he say? He said, beware of the military, I mean the biomedical, military, industrial, congressional Congress. And what did we do? You know, Sonia was saying last night, she was talking to this lady on the beach over in L.A. and or close to it and saying those are chemtrails up there, lady. And she says, the government would never do that. Biomedical, military, industrial, congressional Congress it is. The government was bought and owned by the Black Pope. Inside that instrument, the Club of Rome, and acted upon in 1892 with a Omega Agency formation, which was intercepted by the Majestic 12, Henry Kissinger, George Bush Sr., Alexander Haig, moi. He just went bye-bye a little while ago. He got helped out of here. They know how to extend their life force, all right. They extend their life force for 50 years every time they eat the pineal gland of a baby. And they like the babies. They really do, because they are pure. And it gives them the, you know, Lucifer looks like, you know, that Garden of Gethsemane story. Well, we're in that Garden of Gethsemane, and we said, I'm not taking it anymore. What's the other thing you yell?
I'm mad as hell.
I'm mad as hell. And
I'm not going to take it anymore.
Okay, now let's finish this because this is really cool. Okay, so now we have Rehoboam from South Judah finishing up a 17-year period to 1484. And we get to 1480 by the end of Hatshepsut's co-regency. At the end there, she co-regented with Thutmose III. And Thutmose III was from 1501 to 1501 to 1447 B.C., which was 54 years. That's the longest time. And okay, let's go back here to Jeroboam. Jeroboam was from North Israel. Rehoboam was from South Judah. Queen Noor and King Hussein were from Judah. And South Judah at best is where Iraq is today being tortured. The people in South Judah, there is extraordinary rendition going on every day of the week. Queen Noor is intervening on that. That is why she received her blessings, as all the wealthy visionaries did, all over the world, right after 9/11, when all those wealthy visionaries. And those guys didn't know they received those things. Absolutely not. All that they knew they had to do was take those wealthy visionaries and force them to sign a nondisclosure under penalty of being charged with high treason as a terrorist and put to death. And the definition of that is, who are the ones they would be calling terrorists in this country? You and me, folks. Same deal in Egypt. Same deal during the Goodly Company's adventures as disciples and apostles running around. That's another thing Lord Rumal said. Lord Jamal said, Simon, Simon slash Peter, Simon's name. He was told again, we said this was in Acts 2 also. And it said Simon was told his name was Niger. Oh, my God. River Niger. River Niger in South America, and Niger was where the yellow cake was set up to be so-called found that Joe Wilson, as the former ambassador to Iraq under Bush Sr., went down and checked out and said, no way. Then they took out Valerie Plame. Who's they? The same renegades. The same renegades that literally did kill Nefertiti, although Nefertiti never died because we left clones of ourselves. And this has been going on for 13,000 years, and it was the epitome of the bottom of the pit of hell in Egypt, and that is the period that has not ended. We say Hitler's never ended. Hitler learned the obscene rite from Kahotep. Kahotep came from Siberia. He was picked up by who? By ISIS, who was an Australian aborigine, who was done with her rite of passage. Why did she choose to come there? Because the aborigines are the Ashtar Command as a tribal culture. They are. They came from, where did they come from, Rama? The aboriginal people, where did they come from? The Pleiades, right? Okay, they came from Pleiades and Sirius, both and, just exactly as the whales and the dolphins come from both Pleiades and Sirius. This is very critical, time ground zero, bringing it all together now, because we're talking about Palestine in the middle of that, South Judah. And you go up there and you got Palestine in the middle of that, except now we remember from our past readings, and for those who don't know about that, that Palestinians were a gathering of all kinds of things that were there, including Philistines, not being that. The Philistines were in the land, though. They were Arab in their nature. And the Greek civilization had a lot of warring and barbaric activity going on the mainland. So a bunch of those guys on the mainland invaded this beautiful island in the Mediterranean called Crete. And they drove the original people of Crete, who were the Minoans. King Minos, Greek philosophy. The Greeks are black. Kemet. We remember all the tribe, everyone all over Europe was nothing but Kemet. Black. Now all mathematics, all science, all religion, all politics, all of it came from the Kemet, came from the source, mother, the Black Madonna, Zodiacus. We are all that. The mother comes by volunteering to provide a space for man to bring through the office of the Christ, and then taking that office of the Christ as the body temple, and then kill the Christ with it, is the sin. And that sin is the original sin. It's the sin of getting in the way of another soul on their way home, where soul comes from the mother, the source. Has this circle been completed? Yes, it has. The letter A and the letter I are the meaning of what Mother and Father God say. I, Mother Sekhmet says, am the Alpha and the Omega, and every yuga I trade places with myself. Where does self become self? When the knowledge is provided, and then the how-to, the apprenticeship, the work is provided by man to follow the good red road to the heart of Christ. And only in the Christ, in that office, to the power of the cosine of Judah, times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000, physically manifest now in that office of the Christ and in the name of Saint Germain and the violet flame. Oh my God, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, Eliyahu, 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 Yod He, Vod He, Yah-Vah, Adonai Vasu Baragas. This is what it means, and keep it simple. We are the light thrice over. That means in the lower, mid, and upper chambers of the heart, we shed light upon all three in one goddess. And as we pass our test, may we do so, Saint Germain said. And I will not say, may God bless you. God is not outside of you. Therefore, I will say, may you pass every test that you give to yourself. And that is the work. There is no other work. In the world, yet not of it, Eisenhower volunteered, and he did it. He did it, and he did not die either. The what was left behind was what was needed for the rest of the experiment to be observed, and the rule of law is non-intervention in a civilization's development unless in case of nuclear holocaust or psychic holocaust. So the goodly company of us, right here, right now, volunteering to seed ourselves into form through the womb, the galactic round table is that womb space in virtual reality. We are the creator, co-creator goddesses of a new earth, co-creating with Earth Mother herself and Sekhmet, as above, so below. The reflection of the sun above is in the moon. The reflection of the sun below is us, because we take the sun energy from the center of the earth through our feet and up back to the sun energy reflected in the night of the moon goddess so that it can go back to the sun in the center of the universe of Nebadon and all seven super universes where Sekhmet and her twin flame, Alcyone, and there is a physical location for that in the fourth quadrant of the Milky Way galaxy in the Pleiades. What is it called? It is called Alcyone. It's one of the 23 suns of the Aurora sun system in antimatter where Princess Cherula and Prince Shield, who you are knowing, are on the surface, Shield volunteering to come from off planet and come to the surface this lifetime. And Cherula volunteering to come from and come from off planet and conceive herself into the womb of her mother in Telos in 1795. To what? Do exactly what Beth volunteered to do. To be a mother to the return of the universal law and nothing else. And there is no other work. The deceptive
The deceptive times of propaganda are over. This is the whole story, and it's pretty darn simple. We are the ones that created this so we could reflect through the moon, through Isis, through Lilith, the firstborn daughter of Father, Mother, God, whose twin was Yahweh. And again, they said together, remembering they all come from the mother, they said, we will cast a shadow. We will cast a shadow. And then, Lord and ladies, and Lady Master Goddess, Grand Goddess Lily said it here this way. And by the way, I did the numbers for Lily, L-I-L-L-I-E. L is a 12. So she's a council of 36 with three L's, right in her name, with three nines. Also, in the sense of, we've got, okay, I is a 9. And then I, again, oh, sorry, 2 9s. Okay, 99. So, okay, 2 9s. Another I. And then E is 5. E is the number of change. It's halfway to 10. And what does that mean? That means from 2005, September 29th, 2005 to 2010 now, 5 years, it's been nothing but change. And in 2004, John Joseph Kennedy Jr. from South Carolina, where now Lily comes from, the Republic of South Carolina, you know. In other words, she pushed back what was going on in South Carolina. South Carolina is the worst in terms of what they've done in that state. And what, you know, South Carolina represented for Hillary winning that too, matches what they've done there to women and all the kinds of death going on there. Yet I'm going to say this about this now. I lost my place. One at a time. Beth, yes?
Don't forget, you were going to tell me what happened in 2003.
Okay. In 2000, okay. Tell me where I ended up when I intervened myself, upon myself. What was I saying?
You were saying from 2005 to 2010, there was nothing but change.
Okay. That's right. And I was talking about John Joseph Kennedy, Jr., John Joseph Kennedy Jr. ran with our good friend Dan Rezac in 2004 for the presidency, president and vice president, when at the first choice, John Joseph Kennedy asked Barack Obama to run with him. And we discovered that the reason that Barack Obama said no is that he said that it would not really bode well for me to partner up with you because there were things that were going to reflect back on the possibilities that I would be able to manifest in the future. And there were two things, you know, he said it in a very respectful way and he declined. And the two things we know about that is that John Joseph Kennedy Jr. was on pharmaceutical drugs, and he was not stable in his mind, and that is because the Northern Kennedy clan had been killing his family members from the day he was born, and there were 10 members of his immediate family that the Northern Kennedy clan had already killed, and he was coming into this with a lot of rage, and he was very much taken care of and helped by his aunt, who they killed, and he became gay. Why? Because they messed with their own kinds genetically on purpose. They genetically modified him to be gay. Who's they? The Rothschilds. Who is part of that? Hitler. Who else is part of that?
Hitler.
Habsburg Jew Yes, besides Hitler. Who else is a part of that?
Hitler.
Huh?
I'm saying Hillary.
Oh, yes, very good, yes. Who else? Habsburg, Queen Elizabeth, the Red Queen, the fake queen.
Mm-hmm.
She did not follow in the steps of her Moorish Elizabeth the First.
Right.
No, she didn't, because she did not. She was part of the experiment, her white, mm-hmm. lily white skin.
Right.
And selling her soul, meaning selling her birthright, selling her mother's soul, and selling every mother before that soul to Hitlerian energy of the moment. That's the responsibility that resides in the feminine. So that
she tried to do it to Princess Diana, and she said, I decline.
Yes, what Diana actually said is, I will not marry for anything else except love. She said it with her heart. And the Queen of England knew what she was saying, is that she would not marry for political reasons. And she was sending her over here to marry for political reasons and to marry Bill Clinton. And she was wanting Hillary, to step down. And by obliging with getting a divorce, and then they would use her for something else. Well, neither one of those occurred because they were going to kill Hitlery. That was her options. In other words, they said, you go ahead and you do this black op over here in Waco, Texas, or we'll kill you. So what did she do? She did it. Okay, well, Eisenhower said what he needed to say, and he wrote it down, and then he was stopped from being able to say it before he got on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that was the proper thing anyway. He got enough out for us to have something to put our teeth in and say, hey, we better go and look what he's talking about. Let's look at the military and see what's going on there. Oh, we better go check out the Pentagon while we're at it. Oh, Dick Cheney, Darth Vader himself. Oh, my God, where did the $3 trillion go? Well, some of it went to build this humongous extension onto the Pentagon that was his private intervening structure where he could hire all the people he wanted to do what he wanted to do, even without the CIA knowing it, meaning that nobody could come in there without an ID card that they could get in with.
Mother can walk in there, and so can Saint Germain.
And you know what, Mother and Saint Germain did it. And let me tell you, we were trying to tell everybody that in 2000, and let's see, that was, there were deliveries. No, that was 19, let me think about this, it was 1999. And Dove was writing about these deliveries, that there were actually packages going out, and that they had used Brink trucks. And this is hysterical what happened. In other words, this was kind of like a test run. And so what did they do? They delivered packages. And they delivered the packages in Orange County, and someone in Arizona, someone to Texas, someone to Michigan, and I think the other place was Arkansas, and maybe Illinois even. So, I mean, 5 or 6 different places. I can't remember them all, but that's pretty good. That's what she said. The lady said that. Lady Master Dove in 1999. Anyway, she focused on, and actually a local media station sent our reporters with cameras out because the packages were delivered to the door by Brinksmen. And since a lot of these people in Orange County are pretty much rednecky and you might say not awake, and just going on as if life was just fine, when they saw someone with a gun and a Brinks truck and standing at the door and asking them to sign off and receive a package, they said, I'm not on your life. I'm calling the sheriff. you stand right there. I'm calling the sheriff. And then they went and called their lawyer, and they went and called the judge, too. And they wouldn't sign for it. That was hysterical. Now, in their ignorance, it was a good thing. Because, okay, so others, you know, the hippies and the light workers that were still there, and they knew a little something because they'd been reading from Dove on the old positive board, and then they were reading or writing when she started her, I forgot, what did she start with, Yahoo groups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Yahoo groups, just like we did, Marky and Beth, and oh my gosh, our history repeats itself. Yet, oh my gosh, So they got in line. It was all on that Wednesday. All these deliveries were done. And then they were instructed when they got opened up their packages, they were instructed to go to the Bank of America in downtown West Palm Beach, or where was it? Somewhere out there. Orange County, somewhere. Wherever that was. Anyway, they got in line. And the local media station came there. And they were taking these films, and they were asking these people, and they had to sign a non-disclosure that they wouldn't tell them exactly what it was. They signed a non-disclosure so that what they were told to say is that, well, it was an investment I had, and we have to go check in with the bank. So they had so much to do during the regular hours, they scheduled some later hours for this. And so they just accepted that. So they went to the bank and they got in there and, you know, they actually were, they signed all their papers with the president and everything. God knows if they signed the right thing, you know, it would have to be, the full signature of the president only of the bank. And to get access to those gold certificates, and then they would also, let's see. Okay, I got that wrong. That's right. That is right. Anyway, they went home that night, and whatever they did in the bank. I mean. Then they also had in that non-disclosure that it was a 48-hour non-disclosure. And so Wednesday evening, so 48 hours would be all day Thursday and all day Friday. So all these people went back to the bank so that they could do a couple more things. I think they had a debit card, and they had some other things that after the 48 hours of non-disclosure, they had to go back to the bank. So they got back in line at the bank again on Saturday morning. And what did these darn characters do? What they did is they had a record of everything, and they were surveilling everybody. Remember what Stephen Greer said, and there's no such thing as a private conversation. And they had plotted this anyway, and they had hired the FBI to go in white trucks this time, which were the post office trucks. And they were all armored, exactly like we are saying that they were supposed to be delivered only this time by white knights. Yet they were not going to be the white knights. They were supposed to be undercover black ops from within the FBI, all dandily set up there by Hitlery. And so, just to make things perfectly clear, as a woman, Hitlery appears to have worn the pants in terms of setting up and, you know, having the good old boys ordered to do these things for in behalf of the black Jesuit general military head of that order for the Pope. I mean, which was, again, what did we say? They used obscene rite. They ate babies. They extended their energy to equivocate 50 years of life force, which was concentrated into a very small amount of time, by the way, by the time they got done with misusing that energy. That's why they had to eat a lot of babies, everybody. And if they couldn't get that, then they'd get older kids, and then they'd get teenagers, and then they would take anything after that. They just needed food continuously. That is what it means to be of the army of the undead in the Lord of the Rings. This is the exact true story of what has happened. Whatever one has done, it's done it to all the kingdoms. That's why the Middle Earth experienced it down there. Those underground tunnels from Satonia, from Sirius, dark Satonia in Sirius, tunnel to tunnel, and hyperdimensional election of Barack Obama. You betcha. Barack Obama, I said this last night for those who were sleeping, I'll say it again because it was late. Barack Obama has been to Sirius so much time in his life that, let's just say, it's enough. And he learned everything he needed to learn from his mother as a Sufi and his grandmother, and both of them, as they were part of this order, they knew what they were up against and facing in terms of telling the truth to the people and what their children were going to have to go through.
Tara?
Yeah.
Did he study in the universities on Sirius?
Yes, of course. Rama,
well, I think a lot of people don't know what's that Sirius.
Oh, my dear commander, beloved is indisposed in the porcelain goddess at the moment. Yeah, we'll give him a minute because he can tell us a lot.
I want to hear that part of it. That's cool.
Okay, now tell me again, what were you asking? Ask the question again.
I said, has Barack Obama been in studying at the universities on Sirius?
Beth? Uh-oh, you disappeared, Beth.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, no, we didn't hear anything.
Okay, I said, did Barack Obama study at the universities on Sirius? Because I'm pretty sure most people don't know what's there at Sirius.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did, came from the porcelain goddess.
Well, wait till he comes back. I want to hear more about that.
And the Sirian constellation has three suns in it, everybody. They are Sirius A, where the university that he's attended is at. Mm-hmm. Sirius B, where Sekhmet's people, the Peshats, live there, those simple Peshats, Peshat meaning simple. Tis a gift to be simple, tis a gift to be free. Yes.
Say why the Peshats live on Sirius B.
Because the goodly company that were on Sirius, Isis and Osiris were on Sirius as well. They were calling out for help. And where did they call out for help? They called out to Andromeda. Barack Obama is from Andromeda originally. And Mother came to get him with a whole bunch of others because they came and they called out for help on Sirius B because they were being completely mauled, tortured, and murdered. It was one great, big, extraordinary rendition chamber, if you want to put it like that. They turned it into a prison situation. And so the Andromedans, and now you've got to remember this, because Andromeda is exactly opposite of the Milky Way galaxy. And it's an unfathomable vast Maseroth, which is trillions of times larger than our Milky Way galaxy is. And as we're just getting our baby toes into the water here in our Milky Way galaxy, we're literally traveling through the power of our you might say faith
in creating together a wise domain, which is what you have when you have domes and you have the wise ones of the goodly company's knowledge put together, and then you have something called work, which is called crow medicine, by the way.
They have domes all over Sirius A.
Yes, they do.
That's correct.
And
we have to say that you can create a grid with a dome so you finish the other half of the sphere underneath the earth. You can actually have the other half and have a complete sphere, and then you can do things with the inner earth people in the chambers below. You can create all kinds of things underneath Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear more about the university, but I think first we have a caller.
Yeah, Laura from
Laura,
Seattle.
Hi. Hi, Laura.
Hi, yes, I just want to go back to what you were talking about, the packages. I'm kind of confused on what happened when they went to the bank on Saturday. I really didn't understand exactly what took place there. Did you finish that, or?
No, I didn't. Thank you for this, and may I continue finishing that, Lady Master Beth?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because this is very important. Because you know that this 30-year agreement where those of the light would be double agents to intervene, to be the ground crew, to be the eagles of the Ashtar Command on the ground, to have an eagle eye, to remember to bring pure spirit to every situation in the dark valley. Okay, so the darkness planned something by surveilling people. And so when they were surveilling people that were going there to pick up their gold certificates, well, they had an operation. And so when they left the bank on Saturday, they were told that deliveries would probably begin on Monday and to expect some deliveries. And so the deliveries were had. So we thought, except for what Mother did, as the Peshat warrior goddess, she took a couple of her, about four or five of her own Peshat warriors, and they walked right through the walls of that lovely pentagon that we left the story to come to this story about, and she took out all the generals and all the folks there that were doing something they weren't supposed to be doing. What were they doing? They were manning all the information on the computer databases so that they could send the FBI black ops that Hitlery had put in there with those unmarked white vans. They were going to go pick those people up or they were going to go pick those people up and kill them and not ever give them a dime. That's what they were going to do. And you know what? Mother took them all out, and then she erased everything, all the data that took a long time to get over there in those places. They even had that thumb in Brussels. Mother walked in there, too. You know, the 666, the beast, all that was erased. They lost everything, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't tell all the other guys either. Go ahead,
Ron. I think you got to call Beth back. Oh, there you go. Okay. I just want to...
Beth, are you back?
Thank you, I'm back.
Okay, where did you not hear what I said, Lady Master?
Oh, when Laura came on and she said about the packages on Saturday. I'm sorry, I've been off for a minute or two.
Okay, so what I said, just so you know, is to finish that story on Monday, the FBI with Hitlery having a black op FBI undercover CIA injection into the delivery services.
instead of doing what they were supposed to be doing, they were going to go and pick up these people at their respective locations and kill them. And so what Mother did is she just took four or five of her good Peshats with her, and she walked right through those walls in the Pentagon, and this is where we digressed in the first place.
Mm.
And she deleted all the computers with all that data. And I'm telling you, it took from 1979 until they tried to do that, and all that data and all that work was lost.
Wow.
And she took them out. She and her Peshats took all those generals out. And, you know, there were other guards. They were all around. And they turned white as ghosts. They dropped their guns. They ran for the hills. And
they wouldn't dare go near those Peshats.
They never were seen again.
You don't want to mess with the Peshats.
And this is not a fairy tale. This is all documented, everybody, in those football fields of evidence. What they did, all the surveilling these guys did, not one shred of it was going unknown. Not one shred of it. That was Ashtar's database up there. You think Sananda Kumar is a slouch?
No. This is what I'm trying to tell people about these computers.
Okay, now what that means is, okay, let's the last reign, the accepted Israel biblical chronology was Jeroboam from North Israel. And they said it was from 931 BC to 910 BC for 21 years, and then Jeroboam in North Israel in the corrected chronology was truly from 1501 BC, which picks up above Rehoboam where Solomon left off. Oh, that's interesting. That means that they co-reigned. I see. Rehoboam, that means there was a split. That's right, there was a split between South Judah, which is where Palestine is, and Jordan, all the lands there. Yet, so it was a split between Palestine, basically, and North Israel, which is the Zionists. And so this is why these biblical Israeli biblical chronologies have been covered up and changed. And if you look at the first date of David, 1010 B.C., and the first date of Amosa the First, who was a shepherd pharaoh, by the way, from whence Abraham came, remembering that in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the land there was completely programmed with the people on it, into darkness, utter darkness, and they destroyed. The Anunnaki came in with nukes and just laid the land barren again. And you remember that story, right? What was her name? Sarah, Lot's wife Sarah, refused to leave all her belongings behind and go to the land of milk and honey.
She did not wish to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. She had a vested interest in keeping Sodom and Gomorrah going.
You betcha. And Abraham, remember that this was the Luciferious strain in that land, and it was on purpose done. That's what I mean by Abraham being an experiment at that time. 6,000 years ago, that was definitely an experiment at that time. And the color of Abraham was a mix because there was some melanin drained out there. And remember that Tutmosis III, he had a humongous army. I mean, a humongous army. And it's 54 years of war. 54 years of war after an attempt to co-regent between Hatshepsut and Tutmosis III and the young life of Tutmosis the second as well. Hatshepsut is a very divinely masterful being, and you know that Beth was not only, remember the way we really started this story was Beth telling her soul story, where she brought her soul and ensouled a body and saved that sacred form and used that life to pick herself up and get it sovereign on 2 feet on the ground. And King of Swords says, now's the time, Lady Master, to do that. And she's only 5 years old. Or no, you're 2003, you're going on the age of reason, Lady Master. Seven.
And there's lots of folks saying hallelujah for that.
Okay, and Beth overshadowed Thutmose III, who was Mark, and Thutmose III's lifetime was to do similarly, what was to save and preserve the office of the Christ in the land and in the people. And that's why there's a time for using the bullet, like Malcolm X said, and also a time for using the ballot. And it's not to vote, for heaven's sakes, because nobody ever voted for anything and got it. Never. It would have to be a mass grandstand, slam home run of participatory democracy that would do it. Which would mean
that happened when we elected Barack Obama president.
Yes, we did. And the world did. The world did it by more than the people in the country here we live in. That just demonstrates how far behind and how ignorant and how much ignorance and suppression and fear has done.
And when they announced that he won, I collapsed because I knew my work finally was going to be able to begin because the light had won.
Now, I want to say something about the Mormons here because 6,000 years ago, 4,000 B.C., the Mormons were the experiment also over here of white people. You know, they participated in the experiment that back then, 6,000 years ago, in Mount Ida, Arkansas. And you know how dark that is. I mean, the underground of the Mormons, all underground of Idaho and Utah and what else? Nevada. Oh, my God, you don't want to know what kind of lizardy things are going on down there.
Well, they canceled out the feminine. They take the young women and they have no regard for the feminine.
That's correct. And this is another thing, too, because still to this day, there is violations of the feminine going on in every religion. It's going on in the West, in Christianity, by demoting the feminine. And, you know, I mean, the demotion was done in the line of kings at the time of Moorish Queen Elizabeth I. And they did a sleight of hand. They took the Vatican ambassador from the Black Pope, and you know he used his he hung you know what he did is he hung the office of the Christ on the cross. And if you really want to know what the office of the Christ is, it's exactly the same as the Holy Grail. It is the fruit of that womb. And that's why it means to be brides of Christ. It has nothing to do with sex or gender. It has to do with the rays of truth that anyone who takes on a sacred body would live by and honor and be stewarding this beautiful garden with.
Mm-hmm.
And that means in the Jain caste, and Jainism is also a religion that Akbar the Great integrated into an ecumenism of the time. He actually created a new religion where that fruit of that womb was guided by the eightfold path that he taught and he created. And in the Jainism, which was the merchant class of India, the codes of merchant banking in India were the codes of that sacred womb space we're talking about, because the genealogy in Hinduism is from the mother. It was designed as a matriarchal society. Nonetheless, when we saw that, what was that called again? The millionaire thing? The movie?
Slumdog Millionaire.
What you saw in Slumdog Millionaire was the worst violation of that fruit of that womb that could ever be dreamt up. Why? Because so-called merchant banking went out the window with the takeover of King James I. Because why? He created a lie from A to Z. Yet what does Lord Jamal say? You've got to read the King James I version, because it's only the interpretation that's the lie. And that's the lower heart, you might say, where there's rationalization going, or the lower ego in the third chakra, and also the lower ego in the second and the first and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh. Ego is part of the physical world because we asked for it in the form of having free will choice in a polar universe. Because what was that agreed upon? That Yahvah, the firstborn son of Father, Mother, God, 450 billion years ago, and Lilith, the firstborn daughter of Father, Mother, God, 450 billion years ago, took on separate forms. They took on etheric, physical, 12th dimensional, 12 strands of DNA, and full oversoul, you might say monadic mastery. That means you have your linear and your non-linearity merged in Alpha and Omega, and every yuga trading places. That is why we've been in every lifetime in a certain pattern by our choices in the previous lifetime, in either a male or a female body, a black or a green or a yellow or a purple or an indigo, or any kind of body that could be all the colors of the rainbow, representing that an experiment's an experiment. How we look at that experiment in the face of even malintent is described in the principles of Ma'at, which is world group service with these understandings of this body of wisdom. And then there has to be the work. A body of wisdom means the body of the oneness and the beingness of doing this together. Now that's why this galactic round table is where class is now in session, where the anatomy where the anatomy of our non-linearity and the anatomy of our linearity must be known and then must be acted upon. Mm-hmm. And so Simon in Acts in the Bible said, your name is Niger. And Niger, which we now call Niger in Africa, and in South America, it's the Niger River, but, you know, the English, they get it all screwed up and they call it Niger, yet it means black.
Mm-hmm.
In the black land.
Tara?
Yes.
I would like to invite, we have two callers right now.
Okay.
Big Will from Texas. Hi, are you there?
Hey there, Beth. Hello,
hi.
Rama and Tara.
Greetings.
I'm really enjoying the call. I have a question for either for Rama or Tara or Beth. My question is, I understand that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is thinking about running for the Congress, I believe it is. And if that is so, what is the status of President Obama's status of becoming president forever? I pass the talking stick.
I'm sorry, I got to add something. It's called a rotating round table. We don't do things forever in that sense. We do rotating round table forever.
I like my man Bam a lot, but I'm not sure he'd want to be president forever.
It's not his job, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing because each and every one of us rotate with our positions representing the 12 rays. Now we got to talk about the Council of 12 because those are very important. The first three rays, love, truth, and peace are depicted by. And those are the first three pillars of discipline. Those things we must do first. We must master those three rays. Ruby Ray in the physical worlds. Ruby Ray in the physical worlds, that's the color of blood. When we look on the inside, actually our blood is gold.
Right.
In the terms of the etheric blood.
The
etheric blood is the gold dust in the blood, and then it comes out in the melanin in the skin. Yes, it does.
Gold dust, that's the key.
And it's the melanin that we feed the brain, and we feed all the parts of the brain, especially the pituitary, the pineal, and the hypothalamus. For the physical, the hypothalamus is the master gland of the physical body functions. And the pituitary and the pineal, the pituitary is the third eye vision, and it forms a triangulation with our two physical eyes. So this brings us from our third eye vision, which are the largest nerves that are out there in the open for us to open and see. It's an open nerve. And then we have our third eye, which is really up in the frontal lobe where they place that, what do they do when they put that dot in India? What do they call that?
Oh, that's,
what's it called? It's
the red powder.
It's red powder.
Kumkum powder. And it's like being blessed, getting Shaktipat or Darshan from the masters.
Yes, which means it sends the gold dust from out from his auric space. And you know, Vibhuti is that.
Yeah.
Vibhuti
the sacred holy ash.
Yes, and I have watched master beings. I was helping escort Guru Mai around, and Guru Mai she fell from grace, and that's a very dark story. Yet that story gets healed when it's time. Yet at the time, she could manifest right out of her feet. In the back seat of the car, the whole back seat of the car was filled with the booty. And it was still coming out of her feet. And her people had opened the doors and they were, you know, they were putting it in buckets and then they were going to give it out to the people. And it just keeps on happening. And that's, okay, so we were talking about all the colors of the rainbow. So that is, you might say, the pink ray, the gold ray, and the blue ray. And or the ruby, the blue, and the gold again. The pink, ruby, rose, red ray. We always talk about pink or more lighter colors because they are more ethereal. And in the experiments in the jails, when you would paint the jails, all the walls pink, everybody calm down. Everybody would be calm. What's the first law?
Be calm.
What's the first letter in the alphabet? It's A. And what is it? It's love,
And pink is love. Pink is the color that you put in the heart chakra, and you put another color there. It's called green, emerald green. And yes.
We have.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I have a question for you, Tara, also, after that.
Okay.
Joan from Vermont, from Utah, line two.
Hi, this is Joan. I'm just calling to say that great information today. I really am pleased and appreciate it, especially a little knowledge about all three of you. And I'd like a little more knowledge about all three of you. However, I have a question. As I understand it, the Mormon Church didn't form until 1830. And you're saying that they were formed 5,000 years ago?
Because
help me out on that.
Because you have to go before that official organized usurpation by church people. And that's not the whole story. You've got to find the whole story and travel it all the way back. And so, yes, that's going to be another history lesson we can't cover today, but please bear with me. We'll get there.
But, you know, Joseph, he didn't die, right, Tara?
No. That was
That's the part that she's missing. Joseph did not die.
Okay,
no.
Then I'm going to tell you another thing. This is fun, everybody. Are we having fun yet?
But
yes.
Something did happen with the Mormons, and they met the Elohim and these Anunnaki masters who could do magic, and they had the wisdom, but they used it for the wrong purposes long ago. Joseph Smith did meet these beings, inner earth beings.
Okay, now let me just tell you something here. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah, here. We were talking about Amosa the First, okay? Now, this is the litany of all the incarnations of Amosa the First. First of all, 1580 to 1529 BC, the first pharaoh of the 18th dynasty in Egypt. Uh-oh, we're back where we were on the timeline back there, and we're finishing this up right now. The ruling prince of ancient Lemuria, 12,000 years ago. Well, that's 12,000. That's 10,000 BC, everybody. And in 9,500 BC, we destroyed the great crystal in Atlantis. That must have been a honky-dory lifetime, huh? And that was in ancient Lemuria. Remember I said that there was a lot of fighting going on in the denouement of ancient Lemuria, which was an overlay of the rise of the Atlantean warlord consciousness, which were nothing but the Orion warlords of Jehovah. And that was Triax, Narkron, and Zeon. And they were... It's 4 o'clock. Oh, my God. Okay, so ancient Lemuria, where all the armies of ancient Lemuria were women. Uh-oh, we lost somebody.
No, she had her answer.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to go on. Okay, so are you there, Beth?
Yeah, wait. Before you go on, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, you said the first law is to be calm, and everybody knows I haven't mastered that first law yet, but I wanted to ask you to say all four laws together.
Sorry?
I was wondering if you could say all of the four laws.
The four laws.
Do you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the fourth way of Guruji. I know there's a law of abundance. Okay, that's in, you know, George Green actually provided some good information on that. Wait a minute. Where's my notebook? Here, I think I can do this. Let's see, I think it's... Yeah, there's a law of correspondence. There's a law of abundance. There's a law of attraction. And what did I say that first law was?
Be calm.
Be calm. I guess that would be, Okay, it corresponds with the law of air, fire, earth, and water.
Yes.
So it corresponds with, let me see if I can get this right. It corresponds with the news! Because it corresponds with N is north, E is east, W is west, and S is south. Okay, so north. North is earth. And so it's the law of earth law, which is the law of nature, which would be the universal law of the one, and it would be nourishment. And it would be holding the body together in its highest state of health, wealth, and balance, etc. And, okay, so that's the law of earth. That's the law of nature there, right there. And that would include everything I just said in the physical. And so I guess it's the wise witch of the north, huh? Or they said it was the wicked witch of the west, right?
Well, yeah, the wicked witch of the west was she was not the...
Okay, now, yeah, okay, so let's go north and then east. Let me make sure I don't miss this. Let me skip east. Yes, is the law of the air. It's the law. Okay, so earth, everything on earth has got something of substance to it, you know, and it comes from the heavens. And so the heavens would be the air energy, and and the physical and the air, the earth and the air, you might say they are opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have an opposition between earth and air, you might say it would be a try-hard situation. Like Monday is going to be a try-hard situation because there's a really strong opposition. And it's to Venus. And last Thursday, we saw the opposition we were talking about last Thursday. That's the Thursday going to Monday now. That's going to have to get resolved, and it could mean lots of killings. And let me just say that there is a time to kill. And, you know, if there's any leftover clones, or they could do some arresting because they would end up going bye-bye because of whatever they were planning to do instead with their energies, and they've already dropped their drawers about that last Thursday. And didn't you say there's secret meetings going on all day today, Rama? What were those?
Yeah,
all day yesterday and all day today.
Tell me what those are about.
This is involving the Congress and finances. And they've been talking that the Republicans, they're basically out of power. And they have nothing. They're broke.
And they're all yelling at each other.
They're yelling at each other, and they're infighting. And this is where we have to take it to the level, like the Poppy Lady and Tom the Cat said today, stay out of the fray. Let them finish each other off.
Right.
And don't get in the way. It's watching the chi energy just flow by.
When the orcs got hungry, they would just kill one of their guys and eat them.
That's, yeah. Yeah, let's have some man stew. I have met many orcs, and it's like what... They were just elves that decided to join the dark side and believe the spin and the lies of Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going to love this.
And we're not going back there again. We're doing this with peace.
And with love.
Yes.
Okay, now this is really going to really get everybody, because you know how we've been learning from Cynthia to Pirtle, praise, respect, think, and love our feelings, our emotional body getting healing. Okay, so we got N is north, which is earth, which is nourishment, and health. And east is air, which is E, the sound, you know, the next letter. And that would mean the winds of change. Have we heard that? How do we change?
Scorpions, the winds of change.
Air is mental. Did you ever say, did anybody ever talk, call you or me an airhead? Tell you what.
Never.
This is airhead supreme. I'm just saying, yes, that is what we bring change with. We bring change through communication, through the airwaves. This is what we're doing right now. We're employing the energy of the East. Okay, what is the wisdom? The wisdom of the East came to the West. All these gurus from the East, they're all coming piling into the West. Let's go to the West. Go West.
This is the
story. We're
not
looking for physical gold. We're bringing the gold.
This is the story Lao Tzu began when he said there, the book of the West.
Not only that, the West is the next letter, W. You're going to just love this. The West.
Well, Kundun is in the West right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the West is water, everybody. Why do we purtle a lot our emotions? And why do we, you know, be airhead? Oops. There's an echo.
Your leg.
Can we catch that one, sir? Oh, very good. Thank you. Okay, so the West is the water energy, and the water energies are the emotions, and emotions are the gateway to the soul, and the soul is the mother. So now we know why airheading around here about knowledge of the truth, what does that do? It brings up a lot of, I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it anymore. Water. Can you open something?
Okay, I have a question.
Okay, and the last one is...
Wait, Tara. Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
About the West.
Mm-hmm.
So you said something about the West being mother. That made me think of the New Jerusalem and what that name means.
Well, I didn't say the West is mother.
I'm just an airhead, sorry.
Right. Mother is everywhere and nowhere at all, remember that. There is no limit to mother's presence. And boy, is she in everybody's face or what? The deal is here. I wrote this phrase down. I wrote, through work, will and law of correspondence. This is the order of the day of water energy. In the sense that we have to do the work of dealing with the emotions. And the work of dealing with the emotions is to be airheads and bring the knowledge of truth into it so it stirs the waters up.
Mm.
And we do rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up,
wise up.
And wise up.
Mm. So tell me, what does the name New Jerusalem mean?
And the work is to speak up. And speaking up is the power of the winds of change. You've got to speak up and stand in your power. You can't stand in your power if you don't even know where it is.
That's what my astrology is, to speak up.
Yeah, well, where is my power? We just sold it down the river to these white supremacist philosophers. Philosopher my butthole. excuse me, they just drop their drawers on their philosophy. When in doubt, hold your power and don't do anything about it. What did Barack Obama say? You can't sit here representing the polity and not do any governing. What is going on here? Rise up, everyone, and we must speak. And the communication is the thing that brings winds of change when we do the work in the West. And that's why that song, from the West to the East, any day now, I shall be released, released. What does that mean? That means the mighty I Am presence shall be released into somewhere, out of slavery and into peace. Mm-hmm. How? By first loving everything. That's what it means. The mighty I Am present, the first law is the law of love. And that's why we purtle in the West. With purtle, praise, respect, thank, and love, all the feelings. And then what do we use? We use our higher sense perception in our Buddhic mind. Our Buddhic mind is where we took the original vow of the Bodhisattva to use it. Or we lose it, or we must, eventually, we're going to reduce it to a rubble of ignorance. And ignorance was never and is not now bliss. And denial is not a river in Egypt. It's right here in the West. That Mississippi River is the crack. It's the crack. It's got a fault line, a New Madrid fault line in it. And it was caused when Atlantis, you know, went through its eons of periods of time of sinking. And now it's rising and saying, hey, we're going to have to move a few things out of the way and get back to the surface here. And we're going to have to, you know, see what's coming up with it. And rise up. Rise up. And reverence for all life was defiled originally in Atlantis. And Atlantis is where Isis and Osiris, the Atlanteans wanted Isis and Osiris to be king and queen. And literally, Isis and Osiris declined because they said that they needed to be priest scientists. Mm-hmm. And that what was going on was not according to a priestly or a priestessly way of life. And it was not scientific at all. And it was extraordinarily irreverent. And so they declined. Yet in Egypt, they did something. What they did is they brought their ray of energy, remembering it wasn't there originally. It was not in the West. They actually planted themselves in the ring of fire, which... You understand something. The Pacifica Ocean was all there was. And this beautiful land of Pangea, was sitting right in the middle of that Pacific Ring of Fire, right dead in the center. And so when that land started to break apart and water started to come in through the cracks, in Atlantis, when we destroyed that central nervous system, the message from all parts of the body couldn't get to the brain center anymore. That's what happened. So we weren't even able to reach our own understanding and the wisdom contained in our pineal gland. We basically destroyed our pineal glands in the process and the whole referral system. Did somebody get lost again?
No.
Marita dropped off.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not... Okay, so now we got water in the West, and we have fire in the South. And I will defer to go farther with this. We can continue this. And those of us who came to the call this morning, Brother Mel Free L, went on to give us some magical things, meaning using the wisdom of the triangle, and to do a ritual where we would place a triangle by taking our two fingers and putting them together, our index and our middle finger, and then putting our thumbs together. And that would be the water thing, and it would be in the west. And we would put it wherever. We would put it over our crown, over our third eye, over our throat chakra, over our heart chakra, and over our all the way down, all the way down to the heart. Okay, and then for forgive me. That was for the east. I'm sorry. That was for the east. So you can see what that means. It's connecting with wisdom. It's connecting with the knowledge. It's connecting with communications by for the sake of change and changing our programming, and our programming's in our pineal gland. So we put that pyramid above our crown. Then we can also use sound. And what she said is it's really good to use sound, and the sound, we even sounded it. We sang, and what does that do? It brings the connection into the body from the heavens into the earth, into the physical, so that the divine heavens, which is where the feminine is, in the ethers, bringing it through our aura, which is nonlinear, and anchoring it into the heart, all the way through the pineal, the pituitary, the throat, and then into the high chamber of the heart, and all the way into all three chambers of the heart.
Tara.
Yeah.
How do you put the fingers and the thumb?
Okay, you take your index finger and your middle finger, and you put them together, and you touch them together, and you both have, you have them touching each other, too. So you've got like a pyramid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the tips of your thumbs together, and now you got a triangle.
Right.
Okay. You can actually take all three of your fingers, except for your baby finger, because it's a little short, but you can make the pyramid at the top. Yet for this one, you said take the first two fingers and do that, and then you put your make a pyramid or a triangle, and then you put that over there, and then yes.
Well, I see the Dalai Lama do this all the time.
Of course,
and I do this. That's why I was asking. I didn't know if it was the same thing.
That's why air is also in the east. You know, mental, very, very mental. China, the Orient, is all mental.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the Olympics do have a saving grace. It's just the way they move money out of our hands and into theirs by using their corporate structure and their money to run the Olympics all around the world and steal all our money. I mean, they stole $1.2 billion out of the People's Money Fund in Vancouver to do those Olympics. Yet I'm going to go to the things that are good about it, because the Japanese, through the Olympics, have been putting some red energy into their flow of the West energy, literally, which is active principle. And the West is, that's why we call the West the doo-doo philosophy. And, of course, if you don't act with wisdom in the West, then you've got the other kind of doo-doo philosophy, which creates a lot of that dung, you know what I'm talking about.
Tara, speaking of
speaking of the Olympics, we have a caller from Canada right now.
Oh, Lady Master, thank you. Who could this be?
Maybe Stan?
Okay, Commander. Stan from...
Is it California or Canada?
It might be California. Hello? Stan, we can't hear you yet.
Hi, Stan.
You know you're there, but you haven't pressed your star six or something.
Oh. Okay.
Uh-oh. We've had a boo-boo at the station. I'm sorry, Stan.
Yeah.
Okay, the number is 415-762-11.
Oh, no boo-boo.
1161. Oh.
Stan, if you need to call back, please feel free anytime.
Yeah, 415-762-1162. Okay, the south is fire. So what you do with the south with fire is you take your two fingers and your thumbs together. And this time, you put the triangle at your third chakra, and it can also embrace your second chakra, and then you can put it at your first chakra. So you're sending fire down to the earth, into the earth, the fire of pure spirit that you are. That fire as an Ashtar eagle on the ground crew fire time.
Mm-hmm.
And that fire of pure spirit, that's what spurs us into action. And we spur it into action in harmony with assisting Mother Earth to heal too. So we send that fire down into the earth. We send it all the way into the sun in the center of the earth. And that's necessary. The sun in the center of the earth has been being drained through a portal where it can be brought to the surface. And there's only one, and it's in the Bavarian Black Forest. And this is where the Rothschilds have been stealing the energy from the sun in the center of the earth. And the sun in the center of the earth, since they did what they did, they gave it a big blow. You see, when they took the energies of the great crystal in Atlantis, they sent it with laser technology, and they thought they could pass it through the sun in the center of the earth and out to the other side and blow up the palaces in China and take China in the east over.
And you know, Tara, that's been healed now.
I know.
And you know that happened this year between 889, the opening of the Lion's Gate, and 999 when the crystalline grid ignited again. That was being healed then.
Yeah, now let me explain something really, really, really well now. Because the sun in the center of the earth, it got wounded. It got wounded right through its third chakra all the way in and out. And that's the same thing that happened to Rampa in Atlantis. And he lived, and it took him 7 years. He had to go and be aided by seven women representing the seven sisters from the Pleiades in Hyperborea, which was a hot temperate zone of paradise. And it was a galactic paradise because the Hyperboreans were interveners. They intervened, and they took on the white skin. They took on the white skin so they could bring the knowledge of the melanin. In other words, they knew all the knowledge of truth, and they reactivated the pineal gland for everyone. And they did it through Ramtha. In other words, when one is harmed, all are harmed. And then when they helped Ramtha heal, it took him 7 years. 7 years of healing that hole. And he didn't do it just by going zit. What it meant is he had to heal what he did to himself because he got angry. Yeah, it's healthy to get angry. Mm-hmm. Yet you get to the point where when you get angry and you take up the sword,
and you go around killing everything and its dog. Remember, in the Orion War, it was war that was nonstop, and we were killing trillions.
Yeah.
We were that mad as hell, and we had these kinds of technologies. And that karma came with those warlords in Atlantis, and he was fighting that. And he had a right to be angry as hell. And, yes, there is a time to kill. Yet, he went a little bit too far. In other words, a divine soul having a human experience, the first rage that he had is that that Atlantean soldier came and raped his mother and then left her pregnant. And then he came back and killed his mother and stole him and programmed him and microchipped him and turned him into an army droid, and he turned against him. He gathered the largest army you could have possibly imagined, and then he turned around and he turned the whole army against the royals. And he almost succeeded. He almost single-handedly succeeded. And you know what? Khatumi, as Thutmose the Third, Marki, almost did that. He pretty much did it. He saved the teachings of the mother and the honor of the mother. That's what he was fighting for. That is what Ramtha was fighting for. That is what the King of Swords has been fighting for. And Lady Master Nada's got another tool to fight with. And it's called the World Court. And she bridged the World Court by volunteering to come as a Lebanese woman to heal that rift. The Lebanese people is where the Vatican really seared into Islam. And the Byzantine Church got in there. And that dogma got in the way again. And I liked Chandra Das's little discussion about that, because he said it was like sending all those dogmas after the mother and cutting off her head and not letting her be equal, not having her have a voice. Again, as if he chose to come in female forms in this lifetime, it is time for the women to lead the way and rise up. And did anybody ever find out if this is Woman Suffrage Month coming up here tomorrow or not? Why don't somebody look? That would be good.
Yeah.
Big Will, line two.
Aloha, once again.
Commander.
Thank you for calling again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is to everybody. As you know, Haiti is in the rainy season, and it started yesterday. And my question is this. We know that there is almost a 500,000 people still without shelter. And in order for those people to seek higher ground or seek some type of shelters, will the Galactic come in and be seen by national television for the assistance? I pass the talking stick.
Rama.
I'd say definitely yes. And if you ask me when, I say, I don't know.
What about you, Rama?
I will just say that Ashtar and Sananda and Saint Germain have this sewn up in a bag.
Yeah.
And I am not at liberty to say because I don't know. They haven't told me.
They haven't told me either.
And if I ask, I just get this, excuse the expression, shit-eating grin, and
I
no
do
dates, too. No nukes, no flukes.
You know, I know there's only a half hour to our call left. I really think I should read something about Esther, the Queen of Purim.
Oh, yeah, and I have...
Because this is Purim Day, and
yes.
I don't want to miss that. I know we've had a wonderful call here.
I think that's a great idea. I have one thing to share. Do you have something too, Rama?
Oh, I was just looking up Women's History Month.
Good. I forgot. Yeah. I just want to read something really quick, Tori. It's actually an announcement. For tomorrow is March 1st, right?
I believe so, Commander.
So tomorrow, everybody, we're going to get together with Cheryl Croce on her call, and we're going to do a special meditation for peace tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's going to be an 11-minute meditation portion of her call, because she's generously agreed to host this for our group. And I just want to read a little bit from this piece I have about it. On Monday, March 1st, 2010, simultaneously between three cities, we will demonstrate our effort in creating world peace through an 11-minute meditation. And as our collective conscious effort to manifest world peace, it's been proven that if the square root of 1% of a given population sit and meditate together, focusing on feeling positive energy, they will create a force field that can repel hatred and spread happiness in the world's collective consciousness via the electromagnetic grid that pervades us all. Scientists in other countries have done so, successfully lowering the crime rate and neutralizing acute ethnic, political, and religious tensions that fuel violence, terrorism, and social conflict. Our mass meditation session will focus on generating positive energy for Haiti and for this planet in which we inhabit. It is scientifically proven that our heart has the ability to generate a type of energy that is so powerful that it can influence the energy potential of this world. The point to our gathering is to generate as much positive vibrations as we can to create a collective positive energy field which will ripple throughout the entire planet to manifest a peaceful subconscious mentality. And as all physical matter is basically a construction of various levels of vibration, by being that positive vibration ourselves, we can accelerate the consciousness awakening process of ourselves and the people around us. It starts from within and from one single compassionate soul. And peace with oneself, peace in the world. I have done group meditation before. This is the lady who wrote this. And my experience was ever so empowering. I would say, if I have to put a word to it, I believe the power of our consciousness, we can do a whole lot of good for the whole world without words or language or money. And this lady is in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I know Karen Bishop will be in on this meditation. And we're aiming to gather 8,000 people around the world for 11 minutes. And if you call in to Cheryl's call tomorrow, then we're going to do this together during her call. So this is not a BBS call. This is for Cheryl Croce, and it's a free conference call, and I want to give you the phone number, please. And it's also on the Galactic Roundtable in the blogs, but you'll have to go back in the view all to see it. And her phone number is for the call is area code 213-289-0500. And her PIN number for this call for tomorrow night is 946-7441#. And I thank you, everybody, who will join us on the call tomorrow. And if there's some reason you have to be out and about, you can do this 11 minutes by yourself if you can't join us. So do check out that information and be ready tomorrow. That'll be at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks so much. I pass it to you, Tara.
Okay, then I'm ready to read. All right.
Hey.
Esther, the Queen of Purim, A Talmudic Tale of Terror and Treachery by Dr. Harel Rome, R-H-O-M-E.
This is a guy that actually has been on AME, and he's a black historian, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And Lady Master Rainbird's, I just wanted to say that Lady Master Rainbird's twin flame in the, on the ships, his name is Captain Adar, A-D-A-R, and it says here, this is published on Purim. And then, it's, do you know what this is? Is this from the Hebrew Talmud? It's the, it says 14 Adar,
yeah.
5768.
That is the Hebrew calendar.
Well, I, what does Adar mean there?
I don't know exactly my Hebrew.
All you Hebrew studiers, what's her name? El Melinda, haha, help.
My brain is Swiss cheese.
Okay, okay. March 9th to 10th of 2009, that's when this was published. The Curious Book of Esther, one of the only two in the Bible, not mentioning God, may have been composed in 485 to 464 B.C. during the reign of King Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. A-H-A-S-U-E-R-I-S. Roughly concurrent with the reign of Xerxes the First in Persia. Now we're going to Iran, everybody, so think of the present-day Iran now. The names are certainly similar. Many scholars dispute its provenance and authenticity of Esther. Only the first part is found in the Greek Septuagint scriptures, and it is the only book of the Tanakh, T-E-N-N-A-K-H, not found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because of the discrepancies in Hebrew texts, Saint Germain, we just talked about a 500-year discrepancy, we're reading that, everybody. Because of the discrepancies in the Hebrew texts, Saint Jerome divided it into the older and the newer parts when he organized his Latin Vulgate Bible in the late 4th century CE, after Christ. Notably, the first time the word Jew, in parentheses they say Judean, and remember we talked about South Judah and North Israel, and the North Israel being Zionistic and Naziistic in that overlording, you know, an usurpation of that part, and South Judah. It says, notably, the first time the word Jew or Judean is used in the Bible rather than Hebrew or Israelite is in Esther. Set in Persia, the story incorporates key elements of Persian paganism. Fertility rites always occur in spring, and so does Purim. This is set on 14 Adar. Because the Hebrew calendar is lunar, this falls in March. It's interesting that it's February 28th. It really came early today. Not to digress, yet demonstrating the strong Judeo-Persian cultural confluence, the name of the Hebrew months are Babylonian. Ooh, boy, now we're getting into ancient Sumeria and the Aramaic language, dear everyone. Purim may be a Judaized recreation or recreation of an ancient springtime gala celebrating the victories of the gods Marduk and Ishtar over rival deities. This and other Near Eastern pagan themes made pretty good background material for concocting this very Jewish, very Talmudic fairy tale. Esther reads more like an adventure romance novelette than a book of scripture. Its sole purpose was to establish Purim, a holiday when the ancient Jews ruthlessly struck back against their former oppressors. In Hebrew, Purim means Lots, L-O-T-S, named after the lottery Haman, H-A-M, used to choose the day for the massacre. The Persian word is pur, P as in Paul, U-R. And then we've got Swami Purna, and what the, oh my God, this, on this day, the Talmud.
Oh, Tara?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt your reading, but I want to say Dina from Denver is waiting.
Okay. We may not get finished with this, but go ahead, Dina.
Dina, hi.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Oh, I hated to interrupt your reading, honey. I was waiting until it would be a break of some kind.
There's no more time, darling. It's almost time to be over.
I just wanted to, I lost completely Beth when she was giving that 213 phone number.
Oh. Well, let me look that
and
up for you.
And maybe someone else lost it, too.
Oh,
it
sure.
Went right
you
off
know,
the air.
Let me say, Dina, that this phone number is on the front page of the Galactic Roundtable, and it's always there. And
okay.
It's with Susan Leland, the Astra on the Road call, and it's with Meg Hoop's number. They're all together there on the Galactic Roundtable. And I'll repeat the phone number again. It's 213-289-0500. And I'll give you the PIN code. It's 946-7441-pound. 946-7441-pound. You're very welcome. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow for World Peace.
Sure will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you, Dharma.
I love you, Dina.
Love you.
I love you, love you, love you with all my heart. All of you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
And everybody on the call.
Okay, good.
I got it. I receive it. Okay, Tara.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, the Persian word is on this day the Talmud gives permission to and even encouragement to getting drunk, cursing, reviling, and spitting on Christians. Oh my. To begin Purim, the entire book calls the Megillah, M-E-G-I-L-L-A-H. Simply means scroll in Hebrew, is read in the synagogue. Hence the Jewish expression, the whole Megillah, is like saying the whole nine yards, meaning the entirety of something. Free Dictionary Online appropriately adds, tediously detailed or highly embroidered account. The services are held in the evening after the beginning of the new Jewish day, and commemorating Esther's deadly after-dark dinner party. Jewish women are rabbinically required to attend in older times and where it is tolerated, as in the ghettos and the shetels, S-H-E-T-L-S. Loud, boisterous street parties went on for much of the night with dancing, singing, and drunken carousing, concluding with the burning of Haman in effigy. The Talmud Bavli tells us more, quote, all are obligated, and this is all in red, everybody, all are obligated in the reading of the Megillah, Orach, O-R-A-K-H, Chayim, C-H-A-Y-I-M, 689. Rava said, it is the duty of a man to get drunk with wine on Purim until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. Rabbah and Rabbi Zerah joined together in the Purim feast. They became drunk and Rabbah rose and cut Rabbi Zerah's throat. On the next day, he prayed on his behalf and revived him. Next year, he, Rabbah, said, "Will your honor come and we will have the Purim feast together?" He, Rabbi Zera, answered, "A miracle does not take place on every occasion." Megillah 7b. The Jew is to say on Purim Day, "Cursed be all non-Jews, blessed be all Jews." Orach Chayim 660:16. Always called the Megillah and ranked right alongside the Torah by the Jews, Esther is the name given by Christian translators. The outcome of the rabbinical creative writing project was edited and reworked over the centuries. Since it does not appear in the late 4th century B.C. Septuagint, and since St. Jerome worked with confusing manuscripts in the late 4th century C.E. after Christ, we see a time frame when the Judeo-Babylonian Talmudists put the final touches on the Megillah. While his German language Bible has the Book of Esther, translator and theologian Martin Luther was very critical of it, saying that even the Hebrew text was of little value. We suppose he was unwilling to balderize the already existing Judaic Masoretic Greek Septuagint and Latin Vulgate versions of the Old Testament, so he included it. And then it's in red again. They are real liars and bloodhounds who have not only continually perverted and falsified all of the scripture with their mendacious glosses from the beginning until the present day, their hearts, most ardent, sighing and yearning and hoping, is set on the day on which they can deal with us Gentiles as they did with the Gentiles in Persia at the time of Esther. Oh, how fond they are of the Book of Esther, which is so beautifully attuned to their bloodthirsty, vengeful, murderous yearning and hope. The sun has never shone on a more bloodthirsty and vengeful people than they are, who imagine that they are God's people and who have been commissioned and commanded to murder and slay the Gentiles. Martin Luther, on the Jews and their lies, Der Juden und Ihre Lügen, 1543. And then there's a picture here of Esther entertaining King Ahasuerus. The story goes like this. Our leading lady joins King Ahasuerus, a harem. She keeps her Hebrew origins a secret, yet one of the Jews, our male protagonist, Mordecai, her cousin, is a prominent man in the government. Mordecai is a dedicated friend of his Jewish people, has a sworn enemy, a classically anti-Semitic, heavily embellished, theatrical, wicked villain called Haman. While his motive is unclear, Haman hates the Jews and does everything he can to harm them. The plot thickens. He eventually persuades the king to sign a decree of extermination, a holocaust of ancient times. By this time in the story, our heroine is called Queen Esther, having progressed from mere Oriental harem prostitute to the position of chief wife. To make a rather predictable tale less tedious, she intercedes with her charms, yet there is good and bad news. The good news is some surprise, the king grants the comely concubine concubine's request. The bad news is that back in these olden days, once the king sends out a decree with his seal attached, it supposedly cannot be rescinded. This does not really make much sense, as it seems an all-powerful sovereign could do as he pleased and change his mind. Yet the storyline is not so simple. Instead, the king intervenes personally, providing shelter and protection in his palace. Thus, he and Queen Esther stop the Persian program and extermination of the Jews planned by Hitler.
I mean Haman.
Hello? Hello? Can we be heard?
Are we being heard on the call?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's saying we can't?
Big Will said we weren't being heard on the conference call.
Well, make sure that the conference call is hooked up. Maybe at the station that got dropped. Maybe you need to rehook everybody from the conference call at the station. Is that possible?
What I'm thinking is maybe the conference call ended 1 minute ago. I'm not sure.
No, it shouldn't end at all. It's 4:51. Everything's okay. Okay. He's going to have to call back. All right. Well, I'm going to read
this. Thank you,
John. I'm going to finish this. Is it going to happen? Can you tell us as quickly as possible if they're back and when, Commander? It's 4:52, so we're not too far gone here. I'm going to continue. Okay. Haman is... Okay, so... Queen Esther stops the Persian program and extermination of the Jews, planned by Hitler. Oops, I mean Haman, the wicked anti-Semite. Haman is hanged on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai. Since the death threat is over, the Jews rejoice with feasts and merriment. Along with these festivities, they set about causing the demise of their enemies. Mind you, the original threat is over. This killing spree on the first Purim sprang solely from cold-blooded revenge. First, Esther has the king invite Haman to an evening state dinner where they will unexpectedly attack him when he is off guard. As we would expect, this femme fatale character is seen by Talmudic Jews and Zionists as a brave and valorous woman. And today's Christians perpetuate the lurid legends through studies about women in the Bible. Not only that, the Hebrew harlot is a main character in the traditions of the woman's Masonic order of the Eastern Star. Mind you, these folk are supposed to be reading and studying the Bible. Yet we must ask ourselves, as they are actually reading the text of the tale, or maybe they're just too embarrassed to point out that the Empress has no clothes. Read what the Bible tells us about the brutal, bloody events following Esther's cowardly conspiracy to slay Haman, the adversary and would-be exterminator of the Jews. Oh, well, let's see here. Let's go on. This is in red. The king Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he that would presume to do this, that is, to kill all the Jews?" And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was in terror before the king and the queen, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. So they hanged Haman on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for the feet of the Jews had fallen upon them. The Jews prepare for their revenge, a day when the Jews should get the mastery over their foes. And the Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt, and they could make no stand against them, for the fear of them had fallen upon all peoples. So the Jews smote all their enemies with the sword, slaughtering and destroying them, and they did as they pleased to those who had hated them. In Susa, the capital itself, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman. Now the other Jews who were in the king's provinces also gathered together.
We must within a minute or two.
Okay, let me see how. And got relief from their enemies, thank you, and slew 75,000 of those who hated them. And on the 14th day, they rested and made that day a day of feasting and gladness. Again, the history and traditions, the faith and practice of the Jew ever placed before his eyes the absolute and immeasurable superiority of his own caste, the peculiar people, the kingdom of priests, and the holy nation. This exaltation justified the Hebrew in treating his brother men as heathens, barely worthy of the title human. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. An unfriendly separation and an estrangement between man and man, and equally injurious to the warfare of Jew and Gentile. Their virtues are their own, yet their faults are the fruit of 18 centuries of outlawry and suppression. Sir Richard F. Burton, The Jew, the Gypsy, and the Islam, 1898. I think I can't finish. We'll have to finish it. It's three more paragraphs. We have to go. Let's just, is there a website, Rama? You have to put it at the bottom of the page. There's no website. Okay, we have to go. I'm sorry. I love you, everyone.
Tara, March is Women's Suffragette Month.
Very good, everybody. Now's the time. Now we can read Holy Grail next time and Black Madonna stuff all through March. Amen, sister.
Okay, everybody, we're going to see you tomorrow for a peace meditation, and the phone number and PIN code are on the galacticroundtable.com on the front page, and we will see you on Wednesday night with our special guest.
I care if it's at the back or anything. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And we'll see you on Wednesday night with our special guest, Roger Calhoun and Debbie Dubois, and it'll be all about UCC and mortgages and any questions you have for 4 hours. Love you all. Thank you so much. Had a great time today.